This is episode number 13 of the Interactive Distractions podcast for the week of February 18th, 2008. Coming up on this week's show, this week's distractions, news, NPDs, our favorite gaming memories along with some of the memories of our listeners, new releases, and listener email. Hello and welcome to Interactive Distractions.
Thank you.
Sorry, my mute button is still on. I'm good. Hey, what's up, guys?
This is episode lucky number 13.
Oh, we're doomed.
Baker's dozen.
Yeah, we went from a dozen to a baker's dozen.
A baker's dozen.
Is that a drug reference, Jeff? What the hell?
No.
It's a family show.
Drugs.
Anyway, I am Chris Riccio, and I am here with Jason A. Stryker.
Greetings and salutations.
And Jeff Chorney.
That wasn't totally gay. What's up, guys?
And we're glad you're joining us yet again as we try and trip over ourselves and continue to laugh like crazy. How's it going, guys? Jason, what's up?
I'm sick, dude.
Yeah.
I'm not feeling good.
Yeah, Jason called into work today.
You guys got me sick on the last podcast somehow.
You
transmitting
that, or
your
I got
viruses
you sick
over
at work
the interwebs.
Week.
Something like that. No, I spent the day in bed and sewing a sock monkey.
For real?
Okay.
Kind of, sort of.
Is that what you call it these days? Or
sewing the sock monkey. It wasn't an actual sock monkey, like there wasn't a tail or eyes or ears or anything, but I sewed her a little plush doll. You may laugh, but it's going to get me laid, so let's hurry this up.
Kill a cat, I mean, that's what matters. That's what life's about.
Do you actually have to try to get yourself laid? I mean,
it depends how long they've been together.
Well, you've only been married for like 3 months. I mean, you guys should be in that mode where it's all the time.
That's true.
Jeff, how are you, man?
Good. No sock monkeys in my life.
That's good.
Not literally, anyway. I don't even know what that means. I'm doing okay. I'm doing all right.
Let's not even try anymore. Let's just go sexual innuendo.
Yeah. All right.
We have to have a sound bite that does that for us.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. We do need more sound bites on this show, I think. That'd be awesome. Just throwing random shit.
I'm working on it.
We should do what they do on PlayStation Nation podcast now and throw in a buzzer every time someone gets off topic.
That's all our show will be constant buzzing.
I know. And who do we give control of the buzzer? That'd be a tough situation right there.
Definitely couldn't be me.
I'm pointing at me.
Oh, okay. Just because you have the little soundboard over there, I see how it is.
Exactly.
Well, I, like Jason, am also recovering from being sick.
I like you too, Chris.
You're just...
Wow.
That's
wow. Jason's looking for the gay cover of Lost Odyssey.
Yeah. More midriff. Yeah.
But, listeners, please bear with us because you might hear Jason or I coughing or whatever because we're just getting over it. Well, I'm just getting over it and Jason's just getting it started, apparently.
Mm-hmm.
So I actually got sick last Friday when we didn't have Rock Band Night, and it's just now going away, so hopefully I'll make it.
Mm-hmm. But we're still here for you people.
That's right. Dedication. And I personally am going to give thanks to the better halves of the Indus crew, because we are recording on Valentine's Day, and we're still recording, and not... Doing
Valentine's
things.
Day stuff.
Right.
I mean, we'll probably pay for it later, but, you know, they're extremely understanding.
For sure.
You know. Well, you guys might.
You know, like a year down the line, we're just going to be like, remember last Valentine's Day and you did your podcast? but you said, well, you should have known what I really wanted. I'm just kidding, Tanya.
Well, Crystal has the same idea about Valentine's Day as I do, and that's that it's just a... materialistic holiday created by Hallmark to do business.
So, that's basically the way we think too. So,
yeah, well, that's good.
But then again, you know, deep downside, they still want to go out for dinner and they want some fucking candy.
Well, see, that's a good thing. I could. Crystal hates flowers, unless they're potted or something. So that's great. But if as far as candy goes, all I have to do is I could go out and buy her like a couple of dark chocolate Hershey's bars. I should be good to go. So that's cool. But yeah, I just wanted to say thanks
for letting us.
Now we got three dudes spending Valentine's Day together. Yeah, well, over the internet.
As if the show wasn't gay enough already.
Well, Jason, with all the shit you're throwing in today.
I know.
We're packing it.
It's Jeff's fault. He's the one misconstruing everything. Come on.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Uh-huh. I'll stop.
Well, on with the show. What are you guys playing this week, Jason?
I am playing Devil May Cry 4. And I did get some Rock Band time in, but not much because I'm a little worried. I think my career might be over, my Rock Band career.
Why is that? What happened?
I had an accident at work. I got my finger kind of stuck in a door, and it took a big chunk of skin off of my finger. Seriously.
When did you do that? I mean,
last week. Anyway, it hurts like hell. But no, it doesn't really affect my drumming so much, but I can't twirl the drumstick anymore.
Oh, no. That's fucking skills.
That's it. It's over.
It throws me off, man. I can't do it.
If it makes you feel better, I've never been able to do it, and I can still drum.
How does that make me feel better? No.
I don't know.
It just makes me feel worse because I can't drum without being able to twirl. Yeah, Devil May Cry 4 Rock Band. I've been trying to give some of my my old consoles some love because I've been holed up in the studio an awful lot, and I only have old gen consoles in here. So put in some Battle Coliseum. What else? Crimson Skies, Jet Set Radio Future. Good stuff.
I miss Crimson Skies. That game was good.
Yeah, it was.
You know what killed Crimson Skies? Rainbow Six. Three.
How?
It came out a week later.
Oh.
That's why.
I was going to say they're like completely different games.
Totally different, but it's still kind of like, you know, Xbox Live is still kind of new, and Crimson Skies, I played the shit out of it for a week, me and a couple of my buddies, and then we got all bought Rainbow Six. We're like, we got to make sure to keep playing Crimson Skies, because we got really good at it, and we were like dominating like everyone, and everyone's like having a good time. And then once Rainbow Six 3 came out, it was like, that was pretty much it.
On to the next.
Exactly.
I downloaded Discs of Tron. I'm extremely pleased about that. Arcade Perfect Port.
I'm still thinking about doing that.
Like, I got hope.
Dude,
so.
Yeah. It's like 400 points, man. Come on.
But I'm saving those 400 points.
We talked about this. Those are not like the only 400 points in the world. They will make more.
Points are limited. Get as many as you want.
Yeah, as long as you buy.
I need a co-op
with
partner
the currency
to get
of your choice.
All right. That's about it for me, though.
For real?
Yep, for real.
But you know, I can say, like, you beat Devil May Cry. What do you think of it overall?
I was going to talk about that, because I figured you were going to talk about it.
I didn't beat it yet.
Oh, you didn't?
No.
Well, I don't want to give away the ending.
Well, no, yeah, obviously.
It's cheesy.
Sure.
That's all I can say.
Oh, yeah. It's Devil May Cry. I mean,
yeah.
What do you expect?
Goes without saying. No, I did. Yeah, I did beat it. I was playing on human mode, and yeah, the ending's cheesy. But it did not deter me from going right back into it, playing on Devil Hunter mode. Partially because, you know, you keep all your abilities. There's tons of shit to unlock, and very cool. That's all I can really say, though, right now.
Cool.
Until I'm done with it completely.
Jeff, how about you?
Stuff. Not too much. Played a little bit more Call of Duty 4. That's kind of on and off. Devil May Cry 4. Didn't beat it. I'm on, I think, level 18. How many levels are in it?
20.
20? Oh, okay. So I'm really close to the end then. I'm still liking it. I think I'm liking Nero better than Dante. I don't know if that's like blasphemy or anything, but I just found once I went to Dante, I was like, he's cool. He still has all the badass stuff you can do in 3. But I just had more fun with Nero simply because of that grab thing. You can do so much cool stuff with the Devil Bringer. It's just awesome.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I like the Devil Bringer a lot.
Yeah. I do like that really cool gun you get, though. I think it's like in the 17th chapter, 16th, where pretty much you can morph it into different stuff.
Oh, Pandora? That is badass.
Yeah, the Pandora. That is freaking cool. I only have a few.
That's one of my gripes about the game is that you don't get the really, really cool weapons, you know, all his additional shit until much later in the game. So you barely get a chance to play with it. You do, however, retain all that stuff.
That's cool.
The next playthrough, so.
And the only other real game I've been playing is a game that I didn't even think I was going to pick up, and that's Lost Odyssey.
Really?
Mistwalker's second game for 360. You guys talked about it. Well, not talked about it a lot, but you guys showed interest in it before.
Yeah, lots of it.
I had a lot of, like, I back when it was first announced, when I heard that okay, Sakaguchi is going to be making some exclusive games for 360, I'm like, that's awesome. Can't wait. And then Blue Dragon came out, and I couldn't even get through the whole demo. It bored me that much. I just couldn't get into it. I hated the battle system. It seemed like it took forever. And
yeah, the gameplay was just bad and boring. Mm-hmm. For me, did anyway.
Yeah, see, I didn't like. I'm not a huge RPG fan, so I mean, but then again, I'm not really that hard to please either. So I gave the demo a shot, didn't like it, and then early impressions of Lost Odyssey didn't seem that, rosy, so to speak. So I was kind of like, let it fall off my radar, and then came out, and a week before it came out, they had it on the 1UP show, and I was watching a little thing on that. Mm-hmm. And I was like, this game actually looks pretty cool. So I read the reviews, and every single review basically said the same kind of things were wrong with it, but the same kind of things were good. So I'm going to talk about a few of those things, because I think a lot of it's kind of blown out of proportion, especially the loading times.
Really? But, good.
Yeah. First off, the graphics are awesome. You got to see this in motion on HD. It's one of the best-looking console games, period. It really is that good-looking. Yeah, it's... pardon me. Like, there's some areas that look kind of generic, but the ones that you can tell they really put a lot of effort into look awesome. And it still has a kind of Final Fantasy limitations to it from 7 all the way to 12, where there's still a lot of invisible walls in the city and stuff like that where you can't go, but they're still, they're really detailed. Character models are really detailed. The art style is kind of love it or hate it kind of thing. It's kind of like they went for a Final Fantasy 12 kind of style, but more Americanized, if that makes sense. Like the main villain, I can't stand the way he looks like a typical bad dude from like USA, and just drives me nuts. I'm like, I don't know.
It just, so like, looks like Christopher Rikia. Gotcha.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, exactly. Picture that. All right. With like blonde hair. One thing that's really cool, it's a little thing that I thought was really awesome about the graphics, where you know how in like every single role-playing game ever made, you can basically enhance your weapons with like fire or like water or wind or whatever, like kind of put these little enchantments on it or whatever.
You can put materia in the slots? Wow.
That kind of thing. Well, that's what I'm saying. I'm saying, you know how that's like basically every single game known to man? I know it's like generic, that kind of thing, but a cool effect that they put in the game is when you say you put... you're wearing like a fire ring, so your weapon has fire added to it. Your sword is literally on fire, but it's a really cool particle effect kind of thing. So when he's waving it around, there's streaks and there's like fire kind of dropping from it. And like same with water, if you enchant it with water, you see drips of water dripping down the blade and falling off the tip and falling. Like when they're waving their swords around, you see it flying everywhere. It's actually pretty cool. It's like a little thing like that impresses me, but I thought that was pretty awesome.
It's some little things.
It's the little things, exactly. Another thing I'll get to the battle stuff later, but again, in regards to the loading times, everyone's going to think, oh my god, there's like 13 seconds loading times. Sometimes it is 30 seconds, not 30 seconds, like 13 seconds, but it is hidden very well, and when you're just watching it on a video, you're like, okay, you're counting the seconds, you're like, one, okay, this is ridiculous. But when you're actually playing the game, you have it there in front of you, it doesn't seem that bad at all, because it's done pretty well. The camera comes down and swoops around kind of thing, and your characters do their animations, and then you fight, and the battles are so fun, it just doesn't matter whether or not you're waiting like 2 seconds or 10 seconds. And not every battle loading time is 10 seconds. It could be anywhere from like 4 seconds to like 10 seconds. So it all depends on how many enemies and so forth, how big the enemies are. Where I can see the valid complaining about the loading times is how frequently it loads, but if you've played Mass Effect and you've played Oblivion and you like either of those, you really can't complain about Lost Odyssey load times, because they're about the same in the frequency that it loads. The only time it gets annoying is, say, you're watching a long cutscene. Sometimes that cutscene's kind of broken up into, like, three parts, so it'll kind of, like, load up a part. You watch it for, like, 2 minutes, and it'll kind of load again, then kind of go to a different part of the cutscene, which that happens every, like, it happens quite frequently. And the only really big annoying one is something that I think a lot of Japanese role-playing games do that just drives me nuts, is having a little piece of gameplay in between loading screens for no reason whatsoever. Like, you'll enter, let's say you enter a house, and then it loads, you enter the house, and then you see in front there's like four people talking, you walk up to them, loading screen, into a cutscene. It's like, what's the point of having that little walking part, you know?
Yeah.
In terms of like the actual gameplay of it, the best way to put it is, if you liked Final Fantasy VIII, X, and XII, there's no way you won't like Lost Odyssey. if you want kind of more of the same, so to speak. It doesn't really evolve anything per se, but it does everything it does really well. It takes like in Final Fantasy VIII, that was the one where you had to basically steal the magic ability from the enemies, right?
Part of it.
Like if
was that
you
eight or nine?
It was, well, either one. I'm thinking it's eight just because I never played nine, so, and I remember specifically, so, it's who knows. But you kind of do the same thing in that, but instead of taking it from the enemies, you're taking it from the other characters in your party, so what you do is you'll link up with them, I'm kind of like going way too fast here. There's immortals in the game, and there's mortals. So immortals can't learn different spells or different attacks or skills unless they learn it from a mortal. And mortals get them from leveling up. So you simply level up to the next level. Oh, you learn this skill, this magic spell, whatever. So if you want one of your immortal characters to have that spell, what you do is you link them up with the character you want to take the skills from, and then all you do is simply just battle. And then there's like a little meter. When the meter fills up, that character has that ability. And first I thought that'd be annoying, but it's really not, because it's really, really simple. You just do it. It takes 2 seconds to set up. The storyline...
I'll tell you that. Sorry? It sounds annoying.
It definitely does. It literally takes 2 seconds. You just go click, click, and it's not like you have to do individual skills, which I thought was... originally I thought that's what it was going to be like. If you want, say, fire magic, it's listed under black magic. So all you do is you link up with a character that has black magic, so when it goes up, you get all those skills. So it's not just like you have to do it once at one at a time.
So it's like when you sync your iPod and you have to sync all your videos.
Exactly. Yeah, that's a good way of putting it.
I fucking hate that.
Lost Odyssey is just like an iPod. The storyline so far is it's a lot more dark and very more adult-like than any role-playing game I've actually ever played. Final Fantasy XII went more along towards that line, straying away from like Final Fantasy X, 8, 9, but it was still kind of had those childish moments or dialogue, whereas Lost Odyssey is very well, it's pretty adult in the storyline and the way characters talk to each other and whatnot. Like, they're not cursing up a storm or anything like that, but just kind of has this dark undertones. And the comic relief in Lost Odyssey is actually funny. You're not laughing at how cheesy the lines are or whatever. Like, there's one character, Jensen, who's basically there for comic relief, but he's actually a decent character and he says things that are naturally funny. Like, things your friends would say in regular day conversation with whoever, and kind of doesn't care what he says. It's pretty entertaining. And the reason why I'm comparing it is it's always Final Fantasy games because it's made by Sakaguchi, who basically invented Final Fantasy. I'm kind of I'm loving the game so far, like a lot more than I thought I ever would. In fact, I'm about 8-9 hours into it, and I'm liking it more than I liked Final Fantasy XII at this point, and I think even 10 to that extent, or 7. And the reason why is because it is kind of simple in what you have to manage. You don't have to micromanage a bunch of different things. So when you're in battle, you're not thinking like, okay, I have to have this weapon to increase this or this. And after this, oh my god, I just pick up this weapon. Oh, and I have to open up my license board and do this, this, and this. You basically can take care of your weapons, your magic, your skills, and that's basically it. There's not even any armor in the game. Like, you don't have to upgrade armor or anything like that. It kind of does a lot for you. Leveling up's done simple. It's just like I said, you go up levels, you'll get... It's pretty old school. You'll get new skills, new spells, or whatever. Mm-hmm. And one thing it does, I remember you asked... I can't remember if you asked on the podcast, Jay, but you asked a while ago, has a game ever made us cry or whatnot?
Mm-hmm.
It didn't make me cry, but there is one scene about 7 hours in, which really kind of gets you choked up. Oh, for sure, because... one thing the game does do, which is kind of... I'm kind of skipping them, but you'll get to points in the lead character, Kaim. Well, basically, he's an immortal. He's been alive for 1,000 years, and his memory's kind of shot. And there's a reason for it. It's not the typical, like, amnesia thing, but his memory's kind of shot, and he'll see something that reminds him about something, and he'll go like, oh, he's remembering this dream. And you can read it. It's basically like a small novel. They're really well written, but they're just so long. So... kind of takes you out of the game for a bit. Plus, when I was playing through, most of the time I had someone watching, so I didn't want to sit there and read this thing that would probably take you good, like, anywhere between, like, 10 and maybe even half an hour to read some of these. They're pretty long.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, well, maybe not half an hour. I'd say about 10 minutes, easily. So I read, like, the first couple, whatever, but then you kind of get a little bit of backstory, and then you get to this point in the story where, because at first he's kind of like the typical RPG main character, doesn't say too much, doesn't show a lot of emotion, but at this point, it's kind of like starts to open up more, and it's just, it was just, it was, I've never felt that way playing a video game before, at least that I can remember. It was just a touching moment, and I was like, oh, this is so sad. And I'm not even saying that just to add to the gayness of this episode of the podcast, but it is a pretty good story so far. But I can't, right now, I can't recommend, like, you guys like Japanese role-playing games, I don't see why you would not love this game, like, for real. It's, if you liked Final Fantasy X especially, because the only reason I compare it to that is because Final Fantasy XII had the whole battle system where it was kind of like MMO-based, not quite real-time, not quite turn-based, whereas this is totally turn-based, but it's a lot of fun, and I'm really liking it, and I kind of wish I was playing it right now. But it's definitely the biggest surprise for me this year, because the reviews are kind of, it's getting mostly 8s everywhere, while the main sites look like that, but there's a couple that are throwing it like 7s or 6s, and almost all of them just slaughter it for the load times. And also, they say it drops in frame rate at certain cutscenes. It does, but it's not like anything we haven't seen before in other games. Like, yeah. Mass Effect had drops of frame rate in cinematics. Heavenly Sword did. It's not worse than either of those, and it's only in a few of them. You'll notice it for a second, like, oh, it's centered. Okay, now it's back to normal.
Well, what now, I keep hearing from you know, various sites is that, you know, the gameplay hasn't done anything new. You know, that we're playing an RPG, you know, from 10 years ago, just with an updated interface. That
story, graphics, whatever. Yeah, it's gorgeous for one. The soundtrack's awesome. It's done by this, again, the guy who did the original Final Fantasy games. And it doesn't really do anything new per se. It's like, it is an old school turn-based role-playing game. When you think about how many games have evolved in every single aspect, where you can say, okay, this one is severely different from this. I can think of, like, maybe Rogue Galaxy, from what I've heard. I never played it. Final Fantasy XII, and that's really about it. Besides Western RPGs that seem to be different from one another. Mm-hmm. All.
Well, if that would be an issue for me, do you think the story is strong enough to keep me enthralled?
Well, I would say yes, just because I'm loving it so far, and everyone, like, you read online forums, everyone says the first disc is the worst disc, the story doesn't really pick up until the second, and I'm like, I'm only 8 hours in, still on the first disc, and I think the story is awesome. But then again, I don't play a lot of role-playing games. For all I know, this story could have been told a million times before, and I'm just not realizing it because it's new to me because I haven't played too many. Because that could be the case, too. But
how is the story presented? Now, you said that there's, like, these backstories that's basically a novel. Yeah. Is the actual story of the game, is it, like, all done in cutscenes with, like, full speech and all that?
It's all cutscenes, all full speech, and the production quality is amazing. Like, if it didn't have Mistwalker on the box, like, if they put this out as a Square Enix title, I think no one would know the difference between that and, like, a Final Fantasy game, because they're done that well. They're well acted, for one. The voice acting is really good. Some of the characters kind of sound weird here and there, but overall, it's really well voice acted, scripted, choreographed. Like, it is really good. It's shot, like, really well, the way they have the camera angles and stuff, and how it is presented. And those backstory things are just backstory. They don't really have anything to do with the present story at all. They're just basically there if you want to read them. The only thing you can really gain by reading them is basically more connection to the main character. By reading those stories. But, if you want, definitely rent it. If you like, that's what I'm saying. If you didn't like...
Oh, I plan on buying it. I'm going to buy it. It's just that right now, I've got too many other things that I'm playing, so...
Oh, yeah. It makes sense.
One of those things where I'm just going to chill out and wait. I mean, I bought Final Fantasy XII when there was other stuff out that I was playing, and I haven't even touched Final Fantasy XII.
Yeah, exactly.
So I don't want that to happen to Lost Odyssey as well, because it does look interesting, and I am interested in it. And after I went back, you know, my biggest complaint was the load times. And after I went back and started looking at, you know, some of the older games that I've played, Final Fantasy IX on PS1 had about the same amount of load time as Lost Odyssey. Mm-hmm. So, and, you know, I didn't really think about it then, so I'm not going to worry about it now.
No, you don't. Another thing I meant to mention was another reason why the loading times are very bearable is because the random battles don't happen frequently. Like, it's not like every 5 steps, random battle. 5 steps.
That was another question I had. Good. Okay.
It's not a lot at all. In fact, I was in one area when I got it, and I actually went down to this area, didn't get in a single fight. And I was like, okay, maybe there's no enemies here. Got to the bottom, like, I'm climbing down these series of ladders. And I get to the bottom, and then I fight this mob. I wasn't expecting enemies, because I didn't fight any, so I didn't heal up my guys yet, because I figured, okay, maybe I'll get to a spot, I'll heal up. And I just got slaughtered. And so I had to go back to my save game. And then going down again, I got in a fight on the way down the ladders, like down these little platforms I was going down. So there was, you can fight there, just that it's so infrequent that it makes it bearable, but it's not in the way that it doesn't happen enough where you're bored, you're not fighting anything. I think it's actually really good balance. Like and there's a run button too, you can run through areas like that if you really don't want to fight, and it's good. But the fighting, some of the combat's like fun as hell. I think it's a really good, even that little ring thing that you see where you just kinda have to get it within the big ring inside the little ring. It sounds stupid, like hearing it when you see it, but it's actually really addicting as hell, and you just want to get it perfect, almost like on every hit. It's pretty awesome. Right.
Well, see, it reminds me of the Gunblade from Final Fantasy VIII.
Right.
So. Which one is that? Oh yeah, the Gunblade. That's right. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
Squall's Gunblade from Final Fantasy VIII. That's kind of what it reminds me of. So, and that was that was kind of neat. It just seems like they're repeating the same technique, which it's not a bad thing. At least it gives you something to do during combat. It's not like you push a button and you watch them attack and that's it.
Yeah, so, no, it gives you something.
I can't say that it's like, oh, that's a ripoff of Final Fantasy. Well, first of all, it can't be a ripoff. He did Final Fantasy, but it's like, oh, they don't do anything new. But at least you're getting me to do something during battle.
Exactly. And it's amazing how addicting that little thing is. Just you'll see when you play. You'll actually look forward to it. And another thing, I hope you guys like. Do you like your RPGs hard? Like the fighting.
Well, see, this is one of those things that it seems like it's kind of artificially hard because they have a level cap.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure how I feel about that right
now. Why do you say artificially hard?
Well,
there's no level cap. All it is the game levels up with you. So if you're in a certain area, and say you just want to go and grind, which you won't do anyway because the battles are so infrequent, you'll probably be more bored running around trying to get into fights. The game levels up like when you level up. So I guess they did that just so it's not like, okay, if you want to grind, you don't have like these skills or this many hit points by the time you reach the next part of the game. Do you know what I mean? Like, I'm just trying to give you how is it artificially hard, because I'd find it... How can I put this?
Because it scales along with you.
You're
at a certain level, and yeah, you did go through and you're grinding, but you know what? I mean, you go into the same dungeon and the boss is going to be just as tough. Right.
Exactly. And I mean, people don't like grinding. Like, grinding just came from RPG games because you had to. Like, it was set for this boss and this was at this level.
True.
And you had to be to that point, so you were grinding. People don't grind for fun. I mean, let's be honest. People don't say, you know what, I'm going to grind for an hour today just because I want to.
Fuck yeah.
Because they have to beat the thing. So this keeps the game at a consistent kind of difficulty, but it's a kind of cool difficulty where you'll get slaughtered the first time you fight almost any boss fight because you'll be like, what the fuck? Then once you find out how to beat them, it's almost kind of like you put the piece together, it's almost like a strategy type puzzle kind of thing. Like, you use what attacks when or what magics or whatnot. It's kind of, you just really feel like you conquered something at the end. Because even though you're dying, you know there's a way you can beat this damn thing because you're roughly the same level. So you just gotta figure it out now.
Gotcha.
I thought I had another question, but I can't remember what it was.
Well, that one, cool. That's all I've been playing, so. And I really like it. So definitely give it a rent for people out there. Like, I mean, I can't say, because I haven't been playing role-playing games forever. I haven't played every one. So like I said, this might just feel fresh to me because I haven't played too many. For all I know, it could be the most generic thing out there. But I'm just comparing it to the ones I have played, which are mostly Final Fantasy games.
Gotcha.
Fair enough. Cool. How does it save?
It's like Final Fantasy. It's basically, there's like save points.
Okay.
The save points in towns or like halfway through dungeons and before bosses.
Alright, cool. Pretty cool. Alright. That it?
That's it.
Well,
Chris,
I've been playing quite a bit, but it's like a little bit of everything.
Mm-hmm.
So PS3, I've been playing more of Rock Band. I started playing drums on hard. And Jason, you were right. I started playing the Foo Fighters game, song, and it really starts to help.
Yeah,
it really starts to help disconnect your leg from your arms.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm still working on that. I beat Mass Effect the second way through.
Woohoo!
And I did it, Renegade the whole way through, got my Renegade points and all that good stuff. Saren was easier for me on Veteran as an Adept than he was as a soldier on normal.
Oh, for real?
Yeah, because literally, Jeff, it was lift, unload with the assault rifle. Singularity, unload with the assault rifle. Cutscene.
Really? Right?
Yeah. And then when the cutscene comes back, lift, unload with the assault rifle. Singularity, unload with the assault rifle, and he's dead. He did not even have a chance to move, let alone get a shot off. I mean, all Garrus and who else did I use? Ashley were doing. We're just sitting there firing at his ass, and he couldn't even move. So yeah, adepts are wicked powerful. Let's see. I may go through it again one day, but yeah, Mass Effect's on. I'm on a Mass Effect break now. So, let's see. I also picked up Devil May Cry 4, but you guys have talked about it already.
We can talk about it more. That's fine.
Have you played it yet, or have you not?
Yeah, I have. I've gotten to, I think I'm on like stage 4. I haven't really gotten that far into it. And that's mainly because I also got Assassin's Creed finally. And it's fun, but Jeff, like you talked about, like way back.
Oh yeah.
I was kind of disappointed. First off, graphically, it was fantastic. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's as good as Uncharted. The lighting is really good, but I don't think it's as good as Uncharted.
No.
But the gameplay itself, the battling is fun, and like fighting is fun, but the missions that you have to do are just retarded. I mean, I think the thing that I like doing the most that has nothing to do with the assassination is save the citizen.
Oh yeah, okay.
I like the combat, so I guess that's why. But like collecting intel to figure out the assassination, it's repetitive and it's boring.
Exactly.
And it's stupid. I mean, it's like you walk up to an informant. Hey, I have information for you. But I need you to collect these flags first and then come back. Yeah. I'm like, what? Well, what does this have to do with anything? Why? The only one that I really like is like the interrogation. Because, you know, if you have to interrogate someone, you watch them and they're like giving this ridiculous speech. Mm-hmm. And then they start walking away and you kind of follow them to a back corner. And then you just start beating the hell out of them.
Yeah,
and that's kind of cool, and then you get information, like, and then you kill him. Excuse me. But something else that I don't like is like the informants that want you to go assassinate someone first before they tell you anything. And I just finished the fourth assassination.
Okay.
And one of the intel guys wanted me to assassinate two of the guy's guards in 3 minutes.
And okay, yeah,
when you do these, you can't get caught. So you have to, like, kind of walk up and blade them and then blend. And just kind of slowly walk away. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of another thing that bugged me. And I think you mentioned it back, like, several episodes ago. Where
you hit A and everything's fine.
Yeah, you blade them and then you hit A and just walk away. And who did this? Yeah. I don't know. I'm a scholar walking away. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It's
1,500 witnesses, but...
Yeah. It's like, the game is fun, and I'm continuing to play it, and I will continue to play it, but there are just so many things that I think they could have done better.
That'll last, like, this week. You'll continue to play it to, like, next Thursday.
I wouldn't be surprised. I wouldn't be surprised if, like, I get to, like, I finish the sixth assassination or something like that, and be like, okay, I'm done with this.
Yeah, that's about where I get to, I think.
Really? I just finished the fourth one, and... you know, I mean, all I can do is confirm all the things that you said, you know, back several podcasts ago. You know, the platforming is dumb.
Yeah.
It's not only is it just hit a button.
It's fun, it's just mindless.
It's just
like...
You hit a button and you move a direction. And the thing is that it doesn't even always work.
Hmm.
It's like, sometimes I have to like, roll the stick around the general area that I want him to go, because when you push the direction you want him to go, he doesn't go. So I don't know. They
have a really good base, though. I think they pretty much did that to get the base down and the engine. Then hopefully the second one will be.
Well, the engine's fantastic. The cities are enormous and they're gorgeous. And you know, I mean, there's glitches here and there. I mean, I've walked around corners and and been walking down this empty alleyway, and all of a sudden, like, three people pop in out of nowhere. It's like, oh, hi, how you doing? And then you just run into them and, you know, knock over the pot that they're carrying over on their head or whatever.
That drove me nuts.
But, you know, I'm enjoying it, but I think they could have done more. And, you know, the one thing that this has really done for me is confirmed that GameSpot's full of shit.
Oh, yeah. They gave it
there,
a 9.
I said it. They gave it a 9. I'm like, yeah. You guys are full of shit. They gave it a 9 because they paid shitloads of advertising for you, and that's pretty much it. I mean, it's...
Yeah, they were the highest rating, I think, for sure. Well, next to, like, Play and...
Yeah, but Play Magazine rates everything high. It's exactly. Like, they gave Lair a 9. What the fuck?
Yeah, I know.
So that's Assassin's Creed, and I'm done talking about that.
What did you get it for? Did you get it for PS3 or 360?
360. I got it for $33 off eBay.
Oh, nice.
Shipped.
Good stuff. So,
yeah, I didn't want to pay a lot for it. And after what I'm seeing from the reviews on the DS one and what I'm playing on the console version, I think I'm going to skip the DS one.
Yeah.
I think my next DS game is going to end up being Ninja
Gaiden.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. but my next PSP game is going to be Patapon. Because I got the demo and I played it like twice, and it's fantastic.
Really?
It's so okay. Did you play Loco Roco?
No.
No, you should, because it's like really really cutesy, but it's very well done and very intriguing that way. Just
oh, I
want to
get
way,
into it. I liked it. Like I remember seeing videos and I was like, that game looks pretty cool.
Well, Patapon, you know, it's not anything like it, but you get that same feeling from it because, you know,
it's kind of cutesy, it's artistic, and
yeah, it's very artistic. You're the Patapons are just little eyes that have legs, and that's kind of cool because like, you know, you do different drum beats to give them different commands, and you know, I'll quickly try and go through the demo. When you first start, you get a drum. Right, and they show you what the drum does, and they link the drum to a button, and it's like, okay, this is it. Then you get your second drum. So now you have Pata, and you have Pawn. And if you do Pata, 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 Pawn, it means walk forward. So the first stage is just you getting used to doing that. So, you know, there's a beat going, and you have to hit it. You have to hit one drum hit beat per beat, and then after you finish your four beats, they'll repeat it. And then after they repeat it, you immediately start drumming again. So the idea on the first stage is just get them from point A to point B, and that's it.
And it's kind of keep a rhythm kind of thing going?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And if you build up combos and you get to fever mode. And the first stage, fever mode doesn't really mean anything, but I'll get back to that. Your second stage is like hunting. So they give you, they put you on the stage and... the guys you start out with three of the mid-range guys, which is the spear throwers. And as they're walking and you're attacking, when they get in attack range, the eye that is the Patapon turns into like this angry eye, you know, like it's looking at him, it's like, "Urgh." So, you know, you start attacking things and after every time you defeat something, it'll drop coins or whatever. But, if you hit your combos over and over again and get to fever, then the Patapons will attack differently. Like, the mid-range guys, where normally they'll just throw the spears, if you're in fever mode, they'll jump and then throw the spear, which gives them longer range and more power out of it, because it's falling further. Mm-hmm. And then you have the long-range guys, which you get later, which are arrows... And in fever mode, they fire three arrows instead of one. And then there's melee guys, and they just have, you know, higher attack power. But the demo consists of... it's like five or six stages. And, you know, first stage is walking through. Second stage is hunting. Third stage, you're actually fighting enemies. And, you know, the next three stages are, you know, fighting enemies and getting on their terrain. And you have to break down buildings and... it is very strategic because you don't want to get, you know, too close so that they can come up to you and attack you first. You know, the whole idea is that you want to get to a point where you're going to charge them and attack them and get the first hit off. So it's really neat in that respect. And then the last stage is like the first boss. And that's like right before then, you get your third drum, which is like the Chica, and that helps you with the defense. So there's a defense beat where the melee guys will put their shields up, and the first boss will breathe fire at you, and if you have defense, the fire will hit the shields and roll off and do minimal damage. But if you don't, then you see like the melee guys fly across the screen, and you know, it's very dramatic.
Sounds
but,
pretty cool.
It is very cool, and anybody who has a PSP needs to buy this game for $20. It would be dumb not to.
Is that out next week, or is it already out?
It's out I think it's the week after next.
Oh, okay.
So,
over $20, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I'm going to buy this day one. I got my demo as a UMD disc by pre-ordering it from the
Or you can download it off...
Yeah, now you can download it off of
both PS3. Stores, the PC and the PS3 one.
Right. So, go get the demo and play it. It is fun. Let's see. And the last thing I've been playing is I played Twisted Metal Head-On.
Is that good? I bought it. I didn't play it yet.
It is really good. If you like Twisted Metal, you'll like Twisted Metal Head-On.
Okay.
There's two modes. There's, you know, Twisted Metal Head-On, and then there's, like, Twisted Metal Lost, which is some extra stages from... Black 2 that was being made.
Oh, okay.
That's right.
Did you guys know about that entire story?
Not the full story. I've heard a little bit. Anyway.
Well, they actually tell you the story in the game, but long story short, they were developing Black 2, and the developers died in like in a plane crash, unfortunately.
Oh, wow.
And then Sony received a bunch of letters saying, hey, let us have, you know, the content that these developers put together, you know, let us have their last, you know, the last thing they made on, you know, while they were alive. So, I guess that, you know, they said, okay, fine. And they gave it to Jaffe and Eat, Sleep, Play, and they let him do his thing. And he did a good job. I mean, it controls very slick. It's very fast. It's like I haven't played Twisted Metal since Twisted Metal 1. And
wow.
I jumped right back into it, and I felt like I knew exactly what I was doing. So, I mean, it's very well done. And, you know, Twisted Metal Head-On was a PSP game, so you can't expect anything amazing visually.
Oh, right.
But, you know, the Black Lost levels, the graphically is, you know, what you had in Black.
Mm-hmm.
So that's good. But, yeah, I mean, $20, you know, I suggest it to anybody who likes Twisted Metal.
Cool.
So, go get it.
Is it online?
No, it is not online. And I think that they actually asked Jaffe about that, and they said that they had the choice between putting the game out now for $20 or putting out the game 6 months from now for, like, $40. And they decided on the latter, or the previous. So.
Hmm.
Fair enough for me. I mean, I'm like, all right, well, that's fine.
I'd probably buy it for sure if it was online. But
yeah,
I just couldn't see myself playing that single player.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think it's multiplayer, but it's you know two people on the same system, split screen.
Yeah. Sure.
But that's my week. So.
Cool. Thank you, Chris.
Wow, we had a lot to talk about this week.
I tried to keep it short. I'm sorry.
No, you did.
Yeah,
we
I did.
Didn't.
my list was short. I just had to kind of justify Lost Odyssey, people.
You don't. I don't think you have to justify it. I mean, I was hoping it was going to be a good game, and you know, I've heard different things. I was listening to Team Fremont, and they had someone. They put on a recording of someone playing it, and he gave it a really good review. And you know, after hearing what you said, I'm going to buy it. It's just a matter of when.
Yeah. Word. I think it's just one of those games where it's like some people will overlook. And it's the first game I've played in a long time where I read some reviews and I'm actually like, oh my god, how can they? Are they seriously on crack? You know, when you get that, the one game, you're just kind of like, how do they review this wrong? Because really, how can you really review a game wrong when it's an opinion? But
right.
When you point out flaws and stuff that they're truly over exaggerating, that's when you just want to, like, you know, go kick some ass. Which I'm not going to do.
Jeff's turning into our resident fanboy.
Yeah. Lost Odyssey. Woo!
Well, Jeff, what's going on in news this week, man?
That's right. I knew I had a job to do. Fuck. We'll get through this. Quite a bit, actually, but let's get through this. Not a lot of it is super important. Where should I start here?
At the top.
Okay, at the top. Let's go from the top. Rumor has it that KOTOR 3 is in development. Now, we did mention that a couple shows back, that KOTOR 3 was possibly in the development by BioWare and EA. But there was also rumors that were tied into that that it was going to be a
MMO.
MMO. It's a lot easier. I think I do that once a show, man. It's fucking annoying. Okay. An MMO, but on a recent listing from EA where they show their different developers that they own and what they're working on, they have both KOTOR license still under there and MMO is listed separately. So of course it's got people talking like, does that mean there's an MMO in the mix, in the making, as well as KOTOR 3, like a proper? So just throwing that out there. And EA is go ahead.
I don't want a proper. I want the MMO.
No, I want a proper, man.
Fuck that. Proper ones. That's fine. We need to fix. We need to just eradicate KOTOR the whole 3. Star Wars galaxies.
I want KOTOR 3 in Mass Effect style. I think that would be freaking amazing.
That would be cool. That would be cool. That would be cool.
The MMO is going to be Mass Effect.
No, think so? No. I wouldn't be. I think that would make more sense than having a Star Wars MMO. But just because the universe and they can do whatever the hell they want with it instead of having to be tied down by a license. But that's just
But that would
plus
be
how well
that
the galaxies do, right?
That would be something you would do after the trilogy is complete.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Right.
For sure.
Let them complete their story and then they can do whatever they want.
Mm-hmm. Word. Rockstar came out and clarified all the GTA Online nonsense that happened earlier this week, where someone on the Major Nelson podcast for Xbox kind of said that he didn't exactly say it, but he kind of hinted that the Grand Theft Auto 4 online portion of it was going to be exclusive to 360. I think he said it was going to be unique to the 360 version of the game, and Rockstar has come out and said basically, no, that's a load of shit. It's on both systems day one. Don't worry about it.
That was an actual quote too, right? That's a load of shit.
That's taken shit. Exactly right out of President
Rockstar's
mouth. Nice. President Rockstar.
President Rockstar. a company called Square Trade released some numbers. They basically do something to do with filing out warranties or whatnot for companies, and they say the 360 failure rate is somewhere around 16%, which is a lot higher than Microsoft claims it is, because I think they're still hovering around the... I know they said 3% at first, the normal 3, and then I think they admitted it would be around a little bit higher, as they said maybe 6, but it's also a lot lower than other people think it is. So again, who knows if these are real. I think personally, I think it's higher just because I know.
I think it too. I call bullshit on this. I mean, I think it's. How many people do you know that have 360s that haven't failed?
Yeah, I don't know many at all. The majority of people I know who have 360s had them shit out on them within the first year. But this is a third party. It's not like they're owned by Microsoft or they have anything to do with Microsoft at all. They're just. But then again, how valid are their numbers? So that's just something some fanboys can argue about on forums and make 50-page long threads about it.
I think it's a little late for that now.
Oh, they're still doing it. Have you not seen GLF? Come on. You're not posting there? There's a whole thread dedicated to dying 360s.
Yes, there is. I haven't looked at that thread in about 3 months, though.
Neither have I. Well, speaking of bullshit, developers who made Lair Factor 5... And I'm not saying this story's full of shit. I'm just talking about the game. They said they might be open to fixing the controls for their game. Julian Egbrecht, I don't know how to spell his name, says it could be coming, but he can't confirm anything yet. He said something they definitely thought about and could very well be in the works. I don't think it can save the fact that, well, if they can't fix the fact of all the other problems the game has, I don't think it's going to do shit.
What do they do? Do they release a patch? Do they put out a whole new disc?
I'm thinking it'll be a patch. It'll probably be like a downloadable thing. There you go. Use your analog.
Interesting.
Yes.
Because they can't re-release the game just with a better control scheme.
No, they would never do that. Unless they release it for like $20 or something.
Well, I think I read that, and I think they said something about if they did release the game, it would be under the Greatest Hits Collection price. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know if it would actually be able to have that label, because I think you have to sell a million copies or something.
Yeah, I think it's like...
And I'm pretty sure Laird didn't sell a million copies.
No.
but I think that I think I saw that. But, I mean, I'm not going to pay another $30 for this game.
I wouldn't I wouldn't play it again for free. I don't think if they said a thing... Unless they had a patch saying, hey, this makes the game not suck, then I might play it. But if they do that, there's no way in hell I'm picking that up again. But hey, that's just me. On to more news. Speaking of,
good transition. All right.
Yeah, that's great. Speaking of Twisted Metal, 10 minutes ago. Hey. They didn't really have too much competition back in the good old day, except for this one game called Vigilante 8. You guys remember it?
I do. I own it.
Remember it came out for PS1 and the Dreamcast, I believe. Pretty sure
that's right, it did come out for Dreamcast.
Yeah.
I forgot about that.
Yeah. So. Well, it's coming to Xbox Live Arcade in spring. So for all you people who played it, it was good. I remember it was really competent Twisted Metal clone, that's for sure. I remember it being better than... I remember whatever version of Twisted Metal at the time, I remember it was better than that. But then, of course, Black came out and Black blew it away. But
yeah,
I seem to remember it being really buggy for whatever reason. Vigilante 8.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's just popping up in my head.
I just rented it. But I liked it for what it was, but now you can download it. And that's kind of pretty cool, and this also gives me hope that even though they're not saying it's a Dreamcast version of the game or anything like that, I'm kind of keeping hopes up that they might bring some Dreamcast games on Xbox Live Arcade.
Yeah, oh shit. Awesome.
Well, I thought I saw something about like this being an arcade version?
Yeah, well, it's called Vigilante 8 Arcade. That's what it's called.
Oh, I see, okay.
Yeah,
for the Xbox Live Arcade.
Exactly.
Wow, how creative.
Yeah. I know.
Yeah, originality. You should learn from us.
Transition.
Now, what would you say that was an unreal transition, Jason? Unreal? Well, funny you say that because 2K Boston has licensed the Unreal has licensed the Unreal 3 engine for two more titles. Of course, one being the rumored BioShock 2. And the other, who knows, unannounced title, but they've licensed it. And this is kind of good news for Epic, since they've been kind of getting a lot of flack for their Unreal Engine lately. I mean, the whole thing with Silicon Knights and, people bashing certain games that run on the Unreal Engine. And I find with Unreal games, it's kind of hit or miss. Like, Mass Effect's on the Unreal 3 engine, right?
Yeah, I think so.
It looks pretty damn good, but...
But so is Lost Odyssey.
I was going to say, but Lost Odyssey looks gorgeous. Like, it does make... When done right, it makes the game look amazing. Like, I think Lost Odyssey looks better than Mass Effect. I said
it. I would agree with that just from what I've seen.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, the environment's especially... Like, it doesn't, of course, have the facial detail or character detail, but everything else is just blows it away. So if they know what they're doing, then, hey, and the big knock on it is it's hard to get a good frame rate out of it, and, of course, the texture prop in, which, by the way, I haven't seen any in Lost Odyssey yet, but that just could be because it's not... a true 3D game, so to speak, where you can change camera angles or whatnot, but if you can do it right, it does make your games look good. But hey, so 2K definitely supports them.
What do you call that, Chris? Lazy loading?
Yeah.
Lazy loading? Yes. You won't find that in Lost Odyssey. Lots in Mass Effect, though.
Lots now, in Unreal Tournament as well. Really bad.
Oh, really?
On the PS3,
Sure. Yeah.
I have a question for you guys.
Mm-hmm.
Does BioShock really need the Unreal Engine? I mean, the game looks pretty freaking fantastic as it is.
It's on the Unreal 3 engine.
It is?
Yeah, BioShock 1 was on Unreal 3.
Okay, I don't know why I forgot that. But,
but yeah, so technically, yes, it does need that, Chris.
Alright, fine. Alright.
I suppose if they just, completely rewrote an engine for it, I guess they wouldn't need it anymore.
Alright, I'm gonna write this down and edit it out.
Looked like an idiot. Okay.
Next story, please.
Next story. Street Fighter 2. We all love Street Fighter 2. By Street Fighter 2, I totally meant Street Fighter 4.
Oh my god.
Nice.
New character was announced today. The character's name is Abel. I don't know how you want to pronounce that.
Probably Abel.
Abel.
Wasn't he in something else, though? He was in 3, right?
What?
I don't think so. He looks. I know the screenshots I saw on online doesn't look like anyone I saw. But he did look like a generic American fighter to me, like t-shirt, mm-hmm. shorts, whatever. And he's
yeah,
got
they
some
took
backstory.
A super lazy route too, and didn't even give him a backstory. It's like, all right, amnesia.
Has, yeah, I was gonna say he has amnesia. Blah blah blah. Who cares? I don't know about you guys, but the two characters they've shown so far just kind of meh.
Well, at least Abel looks like he kind of fits in, you know?
Yeah, true.
A little bit. He does look a little generic, but he's not, like, over the top, like, Rival Schools looking like the other chick. I forgot her name already. Oh, damn. That's no good.
Crimson Viper.
Yeah.
There you go. Yeah, that chick.
That's what I want from Capcom. There's another Rival Schools. That was fun.
Mm-hmm. Another anyway. Oh, Rival Schools, yeah.
Yeah, I liked that game.
Cool. For you football fans out there, or EA fans, or EA haters, EA extended their NFL exclusivity deal from 2009 to 2012. Oh, so there goes another, 4 years where EA can just totally half-ass their game and not worry about any competition. So good luck to you NFL fans out there. To you Madden fans, ooh, nothing but quality coming your way.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And don't expect it to be 60 frames on PS3 anytime soon.
Yeah, no kidding. They need to get the Unreal Engine. we talked about
player
this
numbers
game.
Load after the play starts.
The ball's floating up the field.
You can't tell which team member's yours because the textures on the player hasn't loaded yet. You threw it right to the defensive back. He looked like my guy.
As you know, we can't get enough Mass Effect on this show, and Mass Effect. Well, no, apparently not. We talked about
I'm done for a while, man. I don't know.
Done a whole show. Yeah, I'm kind of. I haven't played the game in a while, actually. So, but for people who haven't played the game, who don't have a PS3 and have a PC, it's coming to the PC in May. So we're gonna have a new slick interface for PC users. Easier to equip weapons and armor, which I think was probably one of the biggest faults for Mass Effect. The inventory system was clumsy as hell.
Yeah.
And they've added in hotkeys and stuff like that. So. Ooh. PC owners, there you go.
Yeah, I think hotkeys will be a big plus.
Shit. Yeah.
Hopefully it's a good port, too, because sometimes, like, I haven't played any ports on PC, but I've heard horror stories of, like, Xbox to PC ports that are just kind of, like, thrown on there. But I don't know, did any of you guys play Jade Empire, right? Because I know BioWare did that, and then it was ported to PC. So if that turned out good, I'm sure this will be fun.
I have not played it.
Didn't the KOTORs get ported, too?
Yeah, they were, too. Definitely the first one. Not too sure about the second, but yeah. In the media war.
Nice.
By media format war.
In the high def media war.
The high def media war. Another chip fell in the favor of Blu-ray, whereas Netflix are now going Blu-ray exclusive, so no more HD DVD for them or for you if you have a subscription. It's just another nail in the coffin, which is why is it slowly being closed? I mean, everyone just might as well just go Blu-ray.
They need to just drop out now. I mean, Paramount and Universal just need to give up and say, okay, fine, we'll go Blu-ray, we'll go back to Blu-ray, and we'll do our thing.
Yeah, swallow your pride and, you know, suck it up.
Now, I don't know if this was in the same report, but Best Buy said that they're going to start recommending Blu-ray now.
Yeah, that's right.
As well.
Yeah, that's kind of different because they're still going to have HD stuff.
Right, they're still going to have HD DVD stuff, but when people ask, they're going to recommend Blu-ray.
Exactly. Which kind of... I don't like that idea. It depends. If you go into a... Okay, say you guys go into a store, okay? And you ask somebody, what should I get, this or this? Do you want them to tell you based on what they're honestly thinking, or do you want them to tell you based on what they're supposed to say to you?
I want to tell you what they're
in this case. It is, you know, it's both.
In this case, it is both. In this case, but I mean, let's just say this whole thing with these factors that came in recently, like the whole whoever it was who just joined
Warner.
Warner, that's right. See, that didn't happen yet, and it's just the midst of the war, and whoever went to Best Buy was like, we're just gonna we'll give you this much money, or how about you tell all your salespeople to recommend this? And you're walking in there, and there's no kind of deciding factor, not deciding factor, but no kind of big weight on what side's gonna win. I'd be kind of pissed if a guy was telling me what to buy based on what he's supposed to.
That's that's sales right there. Yeah. You know, that's why I cannot stand salespeople. And yeah. I think if you're gonna spend, you know, $300 to $500 on a piece of equipment, you damn well better research it before.
Exactly.
And not go that's off of, you know, John's word at Best Buy, you know.
I agree.
Yeah, yeah. But in this case it will work, because I mean, Blu-rays, you know, it's one basically, so you might as well stop all the guys out there who still think HD DVD has a chance, or they're not educated in knowing which one is actually doing better. So let's hurry up and end it,
please.
Other news that we kind of unofficially announced ways back is the Marvel MMO by Microsoft and can't remember the developer right now, the guys who did
NCSoft.
Yes, it has been canceled.
Cryptic,
officially.
Actually. I'm sorry.
Is it?
Yeah, it was Cryptic.
It has been officially canceled. Done. Finito. Not coming.
Jason is sad.
Yeah, I'm a big comic book geek, so that was kind of sad to see. I can't blame their reasoning behind it, though. Is that, you know, they basically couldn't get, you know, it's a kind of a niche market, you know, having a comic book MMO with superheroes and whatnot. So, and City of Heroes has that nailed.
Yeah.
So it'd be tough for them to get any kind of wedge. So even with the Marvel license.
I think they're more or less worried about the fact that it was going to be on 360, really. Because MMOs really don't do too well on consoles yet anyway.
Yet.
Exactly, yet. So I think that's probably what they're more worried about, and they did City of Heroes, right?
Cryptic did, yeah.
So was this multi-platform? Was this PC and 360?
Probably.
The Marvel
sure.
one? Yeah, there were talks about it. As far as I knew, it was just officially the PC, though. To be honest, I'm not sure on the 360 front.
Yeah, all I know is if any MMO was going to do good on consoles from the get-go, it would be if they ported World of Warcraft, just because so many people know about it.
Yeah, probably. But that won't happen. It just won't.
Yeah, they've gone on record to say that they're just really not interested in bringing it to consoles.
No, exactly. So. But if the price is right, I could see it maybe going to PS3, but that's about it. One last story here. More EA news. EA makes some good games, makes some bad games. And they've just announced a whole bunch of my favorite games are coming out. Versions of my favorite games.
Really?
There's going to be a ton of... Take it, you know, what are some good franchises from EA, guys? Come on.
Burnout?
Okay, try again.
Mutant League Hockey?
Oh, I wish. Oh, that'd be awesome, but no. No. No Burnout.
Mutant League Football. Mutant
League Hockey. No Mutant League Football.
I like Sim Ant.
No Fight Night. You like what?
I like Sim Ant.
You like... Well, you know what, Chris? You're in luck.
I am.
There has been a whole bunch of new Sim games just announced that EA is going to be bringing out within the next year and a half, 2 years.
Yes!
Some of them include My Sims, My Sims Kingdom.
Kingdom?
Sim Animals.
Animals?
Sim City Creator.
And Furries.
Among others. Be released between
Sim Furries, that's awesome.
Shit.
Yeah, that's what it should have been.
Actually, guys, I did like Sim Ant. Sim Ant was fun. But yeah, I don't see any of these being.
Did you have a lot of friends at school, Chris?
Yes.
That's a
Sim Ant was a good game. Fuck you.
I'm sure.
But they weren't EA back then. Sim Ant was better.
That's right. It was
was
it Matrix?
Mavis? Start with an M for sure. The hell? It's going to bug the hell out of me.
Yeah, it wasn't EA. They weren't raping the Sims franchise.
No.
It was SimCity, SimEarth, and SimAnn. That was it.
Yeah, exactly. Mantis? No. Alice?
I don't remember.
Oh, we'll figure it out. We'll figure
it
out.
I think it was Axis. I'm not sure.
Sorry, what did you say?
Maxis.
I think it was Axis.
Maxis. Yes. Yes, that is it. But, yeah, so what do we think about that one, guys?
Who gives a shit?
We're never going to get that.
That was
right.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
That's the best one we've had. What are you talking about?
It's only taken us 4 months, but, you know.
Three months of this? Yeah, 13 episodes.
And that there was your news.
Hooray! Well, that was a good long first segment.
Holy man. I'm ready for a nap.
Yes.
All right, well, why don't we take a break?
We're coming back with more energy, I promise.
Yes. I'm going to go take some cough medicine or something. And, But when we come back, we're going to talk about our favorite gaming stories, and then new releases, and listener email. So stay tuned, and we'll be right back.
Okay.
It's time to wake up.
Excuse me. I have this burning sensation when I pee.
You need new P.O. Light. Yes, Pocket Otaku Light. All the same great things that make Pocket Otaku great, but with less useless posts than your normal forum board.
Dude?
You won't believe how great new P.O. Light is for the average human consumer.
What about the burning?
Yes. What about the burning? Other forums burn you on content, not P.O. Light.
Are you even listening to my problem?
At Pocket Otaku, we don't care about your problems. But you're welcome to talk about them anyway.
That's it. I'm leaving.
Screw you too, sir. Screw you too.
Hey, welcome back.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Miss us?
That was so enthusiastic, Jeff.
Did you miss us?
Did you miss us?
How bad do we suck? Did you miss us?
I have no energy today. I don't know what it is.
I think it's because it's Valentine's Day and the life has been sucked out of you.
Yeah.
Chuckle. With that. Sexual innuendo.
Hey, all you guys out there that are listening that are expected to do something for your woman on today. Just tell them they need to remember what comes a month from now.
Guys, to the date.
You guys know what March 14th is, right?
We should put it in the show notes.
We should put it in
what,
the show
notes. Is that steak and a blowjob day?
Steak and blowjob day, baby.
Yeah.
Just keep
is that celebrated
in
Canada too?
Hmm?
Is that celebrated in Canada too?
Oh, yeah. Well,
sweet.
I've heard people celebrate it.
You've yet to experience it.
So. I've yet to experience it. Although I did have steak for dinner today.
You know what this reminds me of, actually? Did you ever see... do you guys watch Family Guy?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Did you see the Family Guy where he... it's got, like, the... I don't know what jeweler does it, but it's, like, the shadows against the wall, and it shows him putting a ring on the woman's finger.
Okay.
And they do, like, an imitation of that, and it comes up. It's like he puts the ring on a finger, and then all of a sudden you see her just kind of start moving downward. And it comes up and says, diamonds, she'll almost have to.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, oh, that's fucking awesome.
That's hilarious.
Anyway.
Jeff Cart for that.
Before we move into the feature, mm-hmm. while we were on break, I decided to drop by VG Evo. And I saw someone that had posted the NPDs for the day. Or for the
NPDs?
Month. So I want to go through these really quick, because this is probably the most interesting set of NPDs that we've had. That I think, anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to start from the bottom.
Alrighty.
For the system sold at the bottom, a tie for last is the PSP and the Xbox 360.
Mm-hmm.
They both sold 230,000. Nintendo DS sold 251,000. The PlayStation 2 sold 264,000. The PlayStation 3 sold 269,000. And the Wii sold 274,000. So
that's crazy.
Everybody is really close to each other, all right? The gap between the bottom and the top is only 44,000.
Yeah.
Right? And the gap between PlayStation 3 and Wii is only 5,000. What do you guys think?
Well, one thing I'm going to say right off the bat. Remember a couple, was it two NPDs ago? And we talked about how I said that it seems Nintendo is sitting on systems, basically, for the holiday.
Yeah.
And then, I'm not sure if we talked about the podcast or if it might have been on GLF, Gamers Liberation Front, but...
I think we did talk about it on the podcast.
We had a discussion, and people were arguing, saying, well, no, they're not sitting on systems. Actually, no, some of it was on GLF, because BSV, Bloodstained Vendetta on there, is a big Wii fan. And he was saying how Nintendo just announced that they had another couple of factories open up to manufacture Wiis, and that's how they got these numbers out around holiday. Now, you still can't find a Wii in stores. Why the fuck did it only sell 200 and something thousand this month?
Yeah.
Yeah, it sold, what, 700,000 last month?
Oh, I think it was... Wasn't it... Didn't it break a million last month?
It might have broke a million in December, but either way, it's gone down significantly, and you still can't find a Wii.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Nintendo's definitely not sitting on systems. Yeah. I just like to throw that out there.
Yeah.
Thank you.
A little, I told you so!
But what do we think about the PS3 beating the 360? And I'm going to say exactly what I know both of you guys are thinking. Mm-hmm. Warner switches to Blu-ray exclusive, and PS3s fly off the shelf. What do you think?
I wouldn't say fly off the shelf. It sold 40,000 more. But
compared
you look
to
at
previous months.
Oh, yeah. But you have to look at some factors, too. How many 360s are already out there in terms of saturation of the market, and who has them already, and the price point. So I think 360 has got to where they've got to now. They're going to probably sell consistent numbers throughout the year until it's a price drop. So you're looking at that market that has this amount of money to spend on a console. It's this much money. They went with 360 for the past year. They bought their system. PS3 lowered their price. And then, of course, the whole Blu-ray thing happened. HD thing happened. So it picks up. So I don't think it's a thing. I don't think it's more of a thing of, holy shit, let's all buy PS3s now. I think it's more of a... it's kind of like the 360 kind of plateaued. Until there's another move, then it might spike up again. But same with PS3. Like, if they drop the price, I think it'll spike up again, too. I think it's good for Sony, because finally they're gaining a little bit of ground.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I think you're right. I think that definitely has something to do with it. It's definitely the Blu-ray. But I think it also has to do with 360's numbers down from last month, too. It was basically the saturation. It's like, a lot of people have them right now.
Well, that's not what I was getting at, really. What I'm getting at is that I don't expect this to stay consistent next month.
Don't think it will?
I don't think PlayStation 3 will outsell Xbox 360 next month. Not in America. Not in America. Now, we already know that the PS3 is outselling the 360 worldwide.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's beating it by, you know, 100,000 a month or something like that.
Yeah.
But I think this... What we're seeing here is a direct result of Warner switching to Blu-ray and that extra 100,000 people saying, oh, time to jump on the Blu-ray bandwagon, and they go out and they buy a PS3.
So they get that, like, initial spike, and then you think it'll kind of drop.
Yeah, I don't think we're going to see these kind of numbers next month. I think it's going to be... it'll probably be similar to what we see here now, except that the PS3 is going to be at the bottom with maybe... probably 10,000, 20,000 less than Xbox 360, I think.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. I was going to say, I think all of them are going to drop next month, but I think it'll be... I think they'll still be close, whether 360 outsells it or PS3 outsells 360, but I think they'll be really close.
Yeah.
Like, marginal.
Yeah. It's definitely not going to be the gap that we saw last year as far between the two of them. However, I do think it's going to be... You know, I mean, we're going to see probably... anywhere from I would expect it to be about 50,000. The difference between 360 and PS3.
Yeah, sounds realistic. So. Is there anything big coming out next month for either of them?
March. You know,
like,
I don't
there's know. Tons of stuff coming out in March, but it's mostly stuff that, like, no really killer app really on those systems.
Yeah, I can't think of anything off the top of my head, but if anything comes to mind,
this would have been a perfect time for Sony. If they had something planned for around this time, it would be perfect for them.
Yeah.
If they get a GDC, if they can announce, like, Home's going to be available, like, next month or something big, then that could be, like, a huge boost. It's, like, an opportunity they can, you know, the whole HD DVD, or HD Blu-ray thing going, plus something big. It doesn't really give anyone a reason not to have a PS3 that are looking to spend, like, $300.
Right.
Or $400, or
well, that's all I wanted to touch on. Jason's back there silent. Jason, you still with us?
NPD numbers put me to sleep, man. I'm sorry.
Wake up! Okay.
Just I'm something here. To talk about.
All right, cool. Well, then let's move into the feature. Guys, I think the emails first worked pretty well last week. You want to do that again?
Yeah, what the hell?
Sure, right, cool. Why not?
Let's do
just
it.
Go
then.
Right into it.
Gives me a chance to take a nap.
Jump in. Let's hear some stories.
What was the question of the week, anyway?
Question of the week was... tell us your favorite gaming story, and it did not have to necessarily be favorite gaming memory. Did not necessarily have to be from a game. And I think actually, did we get any memories that were actually from a game?
Not a particular game. Well, kind of, sort of. There's a couple, but no, they just kind of reminisced about the good old days for the most part.
Cool.
Freaky Duty, for example.
Oh, what was his memory, right?
Well, best memory of a game. I would have to say when I first played the NES, my parents took me to one of their friends' house for dinner, and their kid had one. I spent the whole time in front of the TV playing Super Mario Brothers. It was such a great feeling. I still remember how I felt when I played, and I still feel that way when there's a game coming out that I really want, like Smash Brothers, Brawl, Force Unleashed, Mario Kart, to name a few. And I don't think I'll ever stop feeling this way, which is great because I feel like a kid, and it makes me happy.
Makes me happy.
I love that feeling. Seriously, any game that you're looking forward to and you're really excited for, the day it comes out, you feel anxious at work, like, well, now it's work. Back then it was school, or yeah, until someone could drive you to the mall to get it. And today my neighbor just actually brought home a 360, and I was helping him hook it up and get him set up on Xbox Live. And it's just like, bring home something like that the first day, it's always good. You never lose that.
He felt like a little kid. Did it make him happy?
I could tell by the way he was acting. You know, you get that excitedness and, you know.
This, new toys.
This actually kind of segues into one of my stories, actually.
Same.
So I have a similar story. Just basically what happened was I went to a friend's house, and same thing. I saw the Genesis for the first time, and I was like, oh my god, this is great. And, you know, I had already played the Nintendo like mad, and man, these graphics are amazing. Look at the size of the characters, and like we're playing Altered Beast. I'm like, oh, he turns into a wolf! Holy crap! Yeah,
look at all those sprites flickering.
And you know, so now it was like, oh, I gotta, you know, I want to get a Genesis, and you know, I'm about 13, and I got my first job when I was 13 years old. My cousin owned a restaurant in downtown Atlanta, and I would go and wash dishes for him on Friday and Saturday night for
$50. Amazing cake, by the way. Oh yes. My god! I'm sorry.
He doesn't run a restaurant anymore. He now owns a bakery called Alpine Bakery, and every once in a while, I'll stop by there and they'll give me cake, and I'll bring it into work, and it makes everyone very happy. Anyway. So I worked for him on Friday and Saturday nights. I made $50 a weekend. And, you know, I told my mom that I was saving up the money to buy a Sega Genesis. And I'm like, I really want one. You know, and this is when he would shop at Sam's Club. My cousin would shop at Sam's Club. And they would have a Genesis hooked up. So he would come pick me up to go to work, and we'd go to Sam's Club, pick some stuff up, and I'd be playing the Genesis. I'm like, oh, this is so cool. And, you know, I saved up enough money, and, you know, I came home one day, and my mom was unloading her car, and she goes, hey, Chris, there's one more thing out in the trunk. Can you grab it for me? And I walked out there, and it was a Sega Genesis. I was like, oh, my God! And
Nintendo 64.
Sega Genesis!
but the funniest thing is that I was so excited, and it was still my money paying for it. No, it was still my money paying for it, but I was still so excited about
it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So, but yeah, it was, I don't know. It's one of the things that stands out in my head about, just about gaming in general, about, like one of the times as a kid that I really loved. So,
well, that actually segues into one of my, stories here. Might as well get over.
This is great.
Weird. Like, Jay, did you have a, like, gaming console moment, or what? Just so we know beforehand.
Did you have
I've had several, but I'm waiting for a more perfect segue, I guess.
Nice. Well, when I first got in contact with gaming, I remember, I guess when my parents were working, and I'd always go to friends of the family, they'd babysit me or whatever, and they had a son, and he had an Atari, and that was the first time I ever laid hands on, like, a video game system. I was like, this is so cool. And still to this day, I don't remember how this happened, but somehow there was a ColecoVision in my house. I can't remember if maybe my dad had one, or my older sister, or if someone just gave it to us. I really don't remember, but all of a sudden, we had all these games, whatever, and that's kind of got me hooked or whatever. And then I played the Nintendo for the first time at a friend's house. Blew me away. I was like, Chris, oh my god, the graphics are amazing. You can jump and shit and side-scrolling. Oh, it's awesome. And there's a fucking robot. There's a robot that pushes buttons. And then I played Double Dragon in the arcade. And then I heard about the Sega Master System. And then I heard that Sega Master System was getting the only version of Double Dragon that was like an arcade port. The Nintendo was basically remade for Nintendo, and then Sega Master One was two players at the simultaneously, which was huge back then. I think it was like one of the first console games to have that. And, you know, I was like, okay, well, I want one of the two systems. And I would save up allowance or whatnot, and, you know, I saved up, I can't remember how much it was, and, you know, my family ended up going to Florida or somewhere. And my dad's like, okay, it's going to... I can't remember the store. It might have been like KB Toys or something like that, or Toys R Us. And we go in there, and he basically said, okay, well, you saved this much money, we're going to pay for the rest. And of course, I got super excited. I'm like, yes, this is amazing. This is great. Oh, this is the best time of my life. And he's like, hey, what do you want, Nintendo or Sega Master System? And they're both the same price, so it didn't really matter. I was like, okay, well, I'm like, I want Double Dragon, so I'll get Sega Master System.
Wow.
So got that, and I got Double Dragon. And we're walking out, you know, we're walking out to the car, and we drove to Florida, so we're driving, this is on the way home now, so it takes about, it's kind of like 2 days if you just drive like 8 hours a day or 7 hours a day from Florida to Toronto. So we get in the car, and I'm like, oh, I can't wait, this is day one, driving back, I'm like, can't wait to play this, you know, it's going to be awesome. Then this is what my parents do. Well, you're not actually going to get it until you get your last report card for school.
Oh.
And I was like, I'm pretty sure I instantly started crying. And I was 14.
How far out were we?
Or how far was the report card?
Yeah. How long did you have to wait?
I'm guessing, like, I don't know. Like, back then, it seemed like forever. I want to say, like, months, but I'm sure it was probably weeks. It was a little bit away, but the thing was, I wasn't doing the best in math at the time. So, the 2 days of me being really excited for a Sega Master System... You know, going home, looking at the box, you know, reading the instruction manual a million times, turned into, hey, Jeff, time to go over your multiplication tables. And it was hell. I hated every minute of it. I'd, like, take a nap, I'd wake up, and my mom would be like, okay, you know, 9 times 1. And I'd be like, oh, God, you got to be kidding me, and going through this stuff. And so we get home, and I'm like, fucking hell. And they went and hid everything on me, and, of course, I'm a kid. I snoop around, I find it. And I found it in the closet up on a ledge. And every single day for, I'll say 3 weeks, just to, whatever, put some kind of date on it. Every single day, I'd climb up in the closet, get a chair, bring it down, look at the back of the Double Dragon box, read the manual 5 million times, like, memorize every bit of text, and still wasn't able to play it. And one day, I remember it, my parents were going out for dinner, and I got, it wasn't a report card, actually, sorry, it was a test that was coming up. And I got an A on the test, showed it to my parents, and then they were going out for the evening, for dinner or whatever, and I had like a babysitter coming over to take care of me and my sister, and I was like, oh, does that mean I get my Sega now? And they were like, well, okay, fine. And they were on their way out, and they went to get it, and the babysitter's like, well, how do you set it up? And then I guess my dad, I don't know if he was playing some kind of mean joke or whatever, is like, well, if you don't know how to set it up, there's no point in us getting it now, so we'll have to wait until tomorrow. And then I think instantly started crying. And I was like, I just want to go to bed and make tomorrow come really, really fast. And of course, the next day I woke up and I ran downstairs. It was like Christmas. And then my dad had everything on the table there waiting. And I was like, oh, this is awesome. And then we set it up and I played Double Dragon all day long. It was awesome.
Very cool.
So good.
I have a similar story, actually. When I got my Atari 2600 for Christmas, you know, I was extremely excited as well. You know, we tore it out of the box, we hooked it up, and I'm like getting ready to play, and all of a sudden my uncle nudges me out of the way, and then my aunt nudges me out of the way. I didn't touch that thing
it's
for
the
like
Wii
2 weeks.
Over again.
Yeah. So my mom, my aunt, and my uncle got to play the shit, and you know, they wouldn't let me play my damn Atari. Not that I'm bitter or anything.
At least that you cried.
Well, there was tears. That was horrible. That's why I moved out when I was 15.
With your Atari. Yeah.
No, it was that way with my Super Nintendo, not my Super Nintendo, but my NES as well. Oh, my really? Mom would actually, yeah, take it,
and put it in her bedroom. And I'm like, what the hell are you doing? My NES woman. What are you doing taking my game system, putting it in your room? She's playing Duck Hunt and, you know, Super Mario Brothers. I'm like, oh, this is killing me. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. My family hates me.
Who's next?
All right. What do we got? What did I just do? Ricky Duty.
Ricky Duty.
Ricky Duty. I got one from Crayman. He says, my favorite gaming moment was when I won a Nintendo 64. I used to work for Dickie D. Jeff, do you know who that is?
Yes, that is? I know that. There was a... I'm sure you have them there in the States. It's basically one of those bike things that's attached to a freezer, and they have, like, icicles and popsicles and ice creams and stuff.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
You go to a lot of, like, kids' soccer games and stuff like that, and... Now looking back on it, it all sounds pretty creepy. You gotta get some like kid soccer game. Anyway,
so that's an ice cream truck.
Basically. It's a what? Sorry, it's basically a mini ice cream truck. You're on bike, ice cream bike.
Yeah, I haven't ever seen an ice cream bike except in like cartoons.
I see ice cream trucks at the bar all the time, which I think is hilarious. All right, so Dickie D had a contest to name the penguin mascot. One of his customers won. They won $300, and he won a Nintendo 64.
That's awesome.
That is cool. Continuing on, trouble was I already bought one with my hard-earned money the year before, but I sold it for $150 and promptly bought my first brand new Nintendo 64 game. They were $100 Canadian.
They were expensive as hell.
Anyway, the game was WWF Warzone, and he says it's still the best wrestling game ever. That's cool. Did you guys ever win anything, like game-wise or console-wise?
Game-wise, no, never won. I remember I won the movie Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles at Pizza Hut once through a draw. and I won a big plush A&W root beer bear thing once, too.
Oh, really?
I can't remember if I won that, but I won it somehow. That's about it.
I've never won anything that has anything to do with games. The only thing I've ever won is I called a radio station once and won a CD that I already had. Yeah, I was like, yay.
Have you guys ever seen those stacker machines? Like,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, my son actually won a PSP out of one of those.
That was
seriously.
Recently, wasn't it?
We went to Six Flags, and you know, we were killing time before. You know, we had one of those fast pass things, and we had to wait like 30 minutes or something till the next ride, and we were killing time in the arcade. And I went up and I got like $5 in tokens and handed the card to my son, and I'm like, you know, why don't you play this? What the hell? First time he went through, he got it all the way up to the top and missed the very last one. Mm-hmm. Second time, friggin' nails it.
Wow.
And we're all looking at each other like, what, is that it? Seriously? Because I've seen these stacker machines, and I've seen people, you know, on YouTube win stuff. Yeah. Like, you know,
my friend won a DS on it.
Oh, really?
See? Yeah. It.
But I went up to the counter, and I'm like, I think we just want something. And that dude was so pissed off. I've been trying to get that 5 weeks.
Oh, no.
So here's my son coming in. You know, he just spent $2 to, you know, get a PSP.
Nice.
That's pretty awesome.
That's my boy.
That's really good.
And no shit, a week later, he was at a different Six Flags, and he got an iPod Nano.
Wow.
I'm like, what the hell?
That's awesome.
I've tried to play it.
I sucked at that game, man.
I sucked at it, too.
That was terrible. I thought it'd be good. I'd be like, hey, hand-eye coordination, I got good timing, play lots of video games, and yeah, nothing. Yeah. $10 now.
I've actually never played it, but I have seen it.
It's crazy shit. Sometimes you get, you know, super good prizes in there, like, you know, gaming consoles, and then other times it's like a PlayStation 2 game. If you're lucky.
You win balloon pop.
AM/FM radio. Enough with the balloon pop.
Balloon pop.
I'm going to move on with emails here. This is from Anonymous. Hello. I am not a new listener, but a converted soul from the depths of VG Evo. I wouldn't really have an amazing story to tell, but I just wanted to tell a tale of one of my past gaming experiences. I was probably young. Who can remember that crap? It was Christmas, and I just got the Super Nintendo with Donkey Kong and some other games. Donkey Kong Country, I'm guessing?
I would guess so, because I don't think there was another Donkey Kong out for it.
Yeah. What was awkward was a few months down the line, we ended up picking up Earthbound in a bundle at Sam's Club. That had the strategy guide and a controller. So I ended up getting all the way to the end of the game and getting stuck at the end. I found out that I had to use Jeff's psychic powers to win, spoilers, beat the game, but the console crashed. Ouch. My brother took it over to a friend's house the next day with all of our games, except the lame ones ended up being stolen, and the damn game is yet to be beaten. It's a shame. But it was one hell of a game considering I had the answer sheet next to me the entire time. Well, thanks for the oral entertainment. That's like oral your ears. Anyway, have a good week.
Speaking of steak and a blowjob day.
Yeah. Signed the unknown anonymous listener.
Weird. Well, thank you, unknown anonymous listener.
Who's actually known, but that's okay.
I don't know who it is.
Huh?
I don't know who it is. Do I?
No. I don't think so. You don't check the emails, so.
I don't. Do I have access to it? I've always wondered that. Do I really?
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah, so do you guys ever have that happen? Like you're at the end of the game, console crashes.
I'm lucky.
Never mind.
I can't say that I have. I have this feeling that it's happened like a PS1 game where it was really close to the end of the game and then like my memory card got corrupt or something like that. But I don't know. Maybe that was someone else.
Yeah, the closest thing I could do is speaking of, this isn't a story I haven't remembered in forever. Rented a PS1 with Resident Evil back when it came out, and we didn't rent a memory card, and we played the game, me and a few of my friends, for probably about 5 hours straight. We had nothing to do, like, let's play this game, and then we realized, like, holy shit, we can't save this game unless we have a memory card. So we made one of our friends, who I have another story about later, one of our friends was like, hey, well, dude, just get on your bike and drive and rent this for us. You'd be like, well, come with us. We're like, no, we have to stay by the system, make sure it doesn't turn off, and, you know, sit there, and you just go, you know, ride your bike, you know, and rent us a memory card. And he actually did, and then we came back and we were able to save it. But, yeah. It was a terrible
sucker.
You guys take advantage of it a lot.
Yeah, quite a bit.
All right.
Nice.
We had some friends like that, too, yeah. Well, do you guys have any other stories?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Keep on keeping on, man.
We'll see. Because the same guy. We were obsessed with, like, Street Fighter 2 and, like, Mortal Kombat 2 back in the day, like all of us were. And there was this, it was a video store down the street in the bit. Video Copy Center was its name. And in the back area, they'd have arcade games. So they had Street Fighter 2 there, and we'd go there pretty much every day during the summer, you know, for a little bit and play some Street Fighter 2. And it was, like, me and him, and maybe one other of our friends would go there regularly. And I can't remember how old we were, but we're pretty young. And there's always another group of older kids that were there that would play as well. And after a while, you kind of get to know everyone there kind of thing. And my buddy, who I'm still really good friends with now, by the way, used to be known for just, like, bring some money, you know, have a shitload of... Not a shitload of money. Like, shitload of money to us at the time was probably, like, $5 and quarters, right? And, you know, he'd buy his candy, play a Street Fighter, and these two older guys that were kind of bigger, they were like, hey, Martin. He'd be like, what? Give us a quarter. He's like, I don't have a quarter. He's like, well, just give us a quarter. We want to play another game. And he's like, I don't have a quarter. And then they're like, you're bullshitting us. You have quarters. Like, I can tell you just went and bought candy. He's like, yeah, I just spent all the rest of my money on this candy. So what they do, this is like straight out of a cartoon. It was hilarious. They grabbed him. Picked him up, hung him upside down, and shook him for about 2 minutes until all of his money fell out of his pockets. And then, of course, they got their quarters. And me and my other friend just stood there like, oh, well, what are we going to do? It was pretty funny.
Oh, wow. Well, I don't have any bully stories, but I do have kind of a Street Fighter story. Back in the day when I was probably like 17, 18, I thought I was pretty hot shit in Street Fighter, seriously. I mean, I was a small town, Wausau, Wisconsin, and there wasn't a ton of competition around there, you know, and I thought I was the shit. Yeah. So I got into it, you know, I'm thinking, man, I keep reading about these people that are like pro players, you know, they're playing over in Japan. I'm like, I'm going to go take some of these bitches on. So I had an opportunity to take a trip anywhere in the U.S., you know, and I chose Sunnyvale, California. You know, that's where Capcom, you know, the U.S. version is located. And they have one of the biggest arcades there, Gulfland, USA. And I went there, and it was right when Street Fighter Alpha 2 came out. And I actually met some of these people that I'd read about in magazines. There was like John Choi. I think Mike Watson was there. But yeah, they proceeded to kick my ass. It was so humiliating and so humbling at the same time.
But, yeah, it's a good experience.
Yeah, I got the chip off my shoulder afterwards.
Oh, I'm sure you did.
I don't think I played for weeks.
I have tons of Street Fighter stories. I told the one before, right? But the one time I was playing the store when I pushed my buddy and he hit the kid into the mountain. Yeah, okay. I wasn't sure if I told that story already. I think that one's right in my mind. I remember asking my buddy, he's like, yeah, you gotta tell that story. That's like one of his favorite stories to tell. Because the guy yelled at me for like 10 minutes. The kid's father.
I don't have a Street Fighter story per se, but I have an ex-member Street Fighter story. When that one came out, you know, X-Member Street Fighter came out on Saturn in Japan with the 4-meg RAM cart, and it was pretty much arcade perfect. And this was back when I was working at the video game store and when I was working when I was going to college. And had a regular customer that came in all the time, was really big on fighting games. His name is Cam. Really, really cool dude. And every once in a while, like every Saturday or so, he would have fighting game night at his place, and several times he invited me, and you know, I went over there one day, and you know, you walk in and there's all these people there, and it's an intimidating crowd because they are all like, every fighting game they put in, they're really, really good at. And you know, tonight they just happened to be playing, you know, X-Men vs. Street Fighter, and you know, I pick up the controller for the first time and I'm playing against Cam, and I pick Sabretooth and Charlie. That was one of my teams that I enjoyed playing. And Sabretooth has this wicked combo in X-Men vs. Street Fighter. And it's so easy to pull off on the Saturn pad, because the Saturn pad's like...
awesome.
You know, the best control pad ever made.
Yeah.
And what it is you know, I slide in and do a weak kick and then launch him up in the air. And then I get four hits off in the air, grab him, slam him into the ground. As soon as I land, I go right into my super move, and the super move hits as he's falling. All right? So I do this combo, and I was like, I look at him, and I'm taunting him, and he goes, "You like it, don't you?" And he turns around and goes, "I do, it tastes like chicken." So and people always hear me say that sometimes. I was like, "Oh, you like it, it tastes like chicken, don't it?" And that's where that came from. So I always thought that was entertaining. He was a really good guy. I lost touch with him now, but that's good times.
Have I met him, Cam?
Cam? No, I doubt it, because I didn't meet you until well after I graduated college.
Right.
Cam, not real Spam. Spam, not real Ham. Sorry. Side thing. Everything I try to remember is like, it always comes back to those days. I base like the biggest time of me gaming is like Street Fighter, Mortal Kombat days, and it's Mortal Kombat 1 for Sega Genesis. Came out, I remember Mortal Monday, September 13th or something like that, I think it was. And I remember beginning of August, a friend of mine's like, "Hey, if you pre-order at this Microplay, which is like the next town over..." Did you guys have Microplays?
I've heard of them.
I have too.
Okay.
Yeah, I think we have any around.
Yeah, I think they... I'm pretty sure they all pretty much closed down. All the ones around my place did. But if you pre-order it there, they're going to get it on Monday. And he tells me this on Friday. I'm like, "Really?" He's like, "Yeah." I'm like, "Cool." So we got one of our parents, I can't remember who, would drive us over there. And they're like, "Oh yeah, if you pre-order here, you know, it's coming out, the release date, we're getting it on Monday, we're getting it early, a month before everyone else." So I'm like, "Oh, alright, this is awesome, I'm gonna do it." So I traded in some games and, you know, put down whatever little money I had, and I got my little Mortal Kombat. I remember the little pre-order thing was like this, like, box thing that came with, like, a pin and a sticker and all this crap. Like, "So all you have to do is bring in this pin on Monday and we'll, you know, we'll give you your games." I'm like, "Alright, cool." So Monday comes along, I called them, and I'm like, "So, guys getting Mortal Kombat?" They're like, "Nope, no, it's not in yet. It's actually been delayed. We're going to get it in tomorrow." So I'm like, "Okay." So, not to drag out the story, this went on for a month. Me every single day calling, calling sometimes. I was that guy. Like I worked at EB and we had those guys I would call every day for a game. I still do that now. Like for Lost Odyssey, I called like four different stores like three times. Like, you have it in yet? And they're like, no, we'll fucking call you. I'm like, fuck. Like, I'm just asking because I don't want to like go home, find out, and have to walk all the way back. I'll be passed. But anyway, it's like going on a tangent. But anyway, and I remember like some of the excuses they had were ridiculous. Like once they're like, "Oh, we did get it in, but it's only the French versions, so
the French
we had to send
version.
Them back." And then I was like, "Oh, I'll take the French. I don't really care." And they're like, "No, we send it back. We don't have them anymore." Like a week later, it was like, "The truck actually got stopped at the border, and there's something wrong with the tire, so they had to send it back." They're just feeding me all this bullshit, and I'm like, believing it. I should have just been like, "They're just full of shit." I was just so mad. Like my hopes every single day. For a month and like 10 days was I'm gonna get Mortal Kombat today, and of course I got it the same day everybody else did.
Yeah. Wow,
pissed me right off,
sons of bitches.
Yeah,
wow.
I know, I was so mad. I was like, I fucking hate these guys.
Mortal Kombat 2 helped me get my job at the video game store.
Oh really?
Yeah, cause I found it because there was a shopping center that was there. There was an arcade called Diversions. Now, this is back when, you know, Ninja Turtles arcade was actually in the arcade. Now, I just dated myself, so. So I just happened to see this video game store, so I walked over and I go inside, and I'm like, it's pretty cool. And one of the guys that works there is playing Mortal Kombat 2, so I walk over and I'm watching him play, and I'm like, that's cool. And then I see that there's a help wanted sign. And I ask for an application, I fill it out, and I hand it back. And then, like, in the coming weeks, I would, go to Diversions and then go to the game store. And then go to Diversions, go to the game store. And they were always playing Mortal Kombat 2. And, eventually the owner finally came over to me and said, "Hey, you still interested in that job?" And I'm like, "Yeah, all right." And that's pretty much how I got the job. I would go over there and I'd play Mortal Kombat 2 with the guys that were working there.
That's pretty cool.
So, and the owner ended up hiring me on for that. Good stuff. Good times.
Cool. All right, I'm going to head back into emails. We've got one more here. I like this one an awful lot. From Tears of Ash. Mm-hmm. "Greetings, Interactive Distractions podcast crew. How are my podcats doing?"
We're doing very well.
"I got a blast from the past for you. Back in the day when I was a wee lad. See, my parents are divorced, and when I visited my dad, part of family time, in quotes, was watching him play video games.
Nice.
Those are my favorite memories. I always loved watching him play and beat awesome games like Super Mario Bros. 3, Illusion of Gaia, Star Fox, Final Fantasy 2, amongst others. Why are these my favorite memories? Well, because spending time with your family is important, and it's fucking awesome when your father likes the same stuff that you do and plays them with you. Playing role-playing games with my father taught me how to read, even. That's why it's my favorite memory. Very cool.
That's really cool, actually.
Jason, I'm sure you have something to input on that.
No, I don't. I hate
really?
My family. Oh, I'm kidding.
Remember, his family hates him.
Smartass. Okay.
No, I tried to make, I play a lot of games with my son. I play WoW with my son, and whenever he's here, we're always into gaming and stuff. And I don't know
like
what to add
band.
On it. What's that?
Like Rock Band, when he beats the crap out of you.
Yeah, a little shit.
Does he listen to this?
No. Not old enough yet.
Yeah, probably a good thing.
No, we spend an awful lot of time gaming together, so it's a great bonding experience, and we're always on the lookout for co-op games because we get a little competitive with one another. We like to talk trash, and God forbid I should ever let 14-year-old beat me in a fighting game.
Yeah.
He's got to learn humility like I did in Sunnyvale, California.
If he starts beating you in the 2D ones, that's when you got to be worried.
Yeah, that's true. But yeah, we're always in the lookout for co-op games, and it's an awful lot of fun.
My dad would always used to try to play games with me, especially like sports games. And I remember Lakers versus Celtics in the NBA playoffs. The only way you can tell which player you're controlling is because their sneakers turn black from white. And I guess his eyesight wasn't the best, and he's like, I don't know what's going on, I don't know who I'm controlling, and he'd always try every once in a while to try to play, he just couldn't get it.
Really?
But I told you guys he bought a Wii beginning of the year, last year.
Yeah, that's right. So,
yeah.
That's cool.
He's doing alright with that.
Cool. Yeah, I hope my kids are into video games, because God knows.
True that.
That was a good email, Tears. Thanks.
Yeah.
It was. Is there another email?
Do we have any more?
No, that's all I got. I saved the best for last, I think. Well, not the best, but, you know, the most touching and heartfelt one.
All right, well, do you guys have any more? Because I have one more.
I got a couple more, yeah.
I got one. Speaking of touching and heartfelt.
In my mind. So you're at the Playboy Mansion.
My story's not going to be as good. Damn it. No, I was going to talk about how I cried at a game.
Oh.
A little bit.
Uh-oh.
It's Lunar, the Silver Star. And I loved this game an awful lot because it was my first experience with, like, you know, high quality audio in a game. You know, I had just gotten my Sega CD. I got a CD, Sega CDX, actually. And I was particularly impressed with this game because it actually had, like, vocals in the opening music. And I'm like, whoa, this is the coolest thing ever. Horrible song. And I played it for these guys during the break. I'm so sorry.
About that, but... And we do have that recorded.
I know. No, we know.
So, yeah, they'll hear it eventually.
But anyway, I got extremely into this game because there was voice acting and it was, you know, so unheard of, you know, for the time. And towards the end of the game, I don't really want to spoil anything, but I mean, there's a point where, you know, your love interest, Luna.
I wouldn't worry about spoiling anything.
Well, I mean, you know, it's a good story. Jeff, you haven't played it, so.
True, but yeah,
it is a good story. It actually is a good story.
But there's a point where you're trying to get to Luna and she's, you know, not herself, as it were. And she's doing things against her will to keep you from, you know, saving her. And it was so moving to me because, you know, it was combined with, you know, all the music and you know, the dialogue, you know, the voice acting just brought me into the game so much more than I'd ever experienced. And I got a little misty. I let a couple.
Oh, dear God.
Yeah. But
a little moisture on the redness.
That was a big, big moment for me, you know, because I just never gotten that engrossed into a storyline in a video game before, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that was very defining for me.
That's pretty cool. Like I mentioned the whole Lost Odyssey part where I just kind of got a little bit choked up, but there was another game actually, now thinking back.
Now it all comes out. Uh-huh.
Recently. No, I didn't cry. Same kind of choking feeling at the ending of Heavenly Sword. And the only reason why, I swear to God, if What's-Her-Face wasn't retarded, I don't think I would have felt that like that. What's her name? Kai. Whatever's wrong. I don't know. It just seemed like this, even though she's kind of normal at the end, but I'm not going to ruin the end, but it was kind of sad. And I think the fact that I think she was one of my favorite characters in the entire game. And
Kai?
Yeah, I think she was, actually.
I loved playing as Kai. It was so much fun.
Yeah, not so much playing her. It's like there was a character. Like, I thought she was kind of quirky.
Oh,
some of the things she said was just cute, and you're like, oh. And then just the end, just the whole thing that happens, and you're just kind of like, I was like, oh, it's... Because I remember my girlfriend was, she was kind of like laying in my bed while I was playing it, and I was kind of like talking, whatever, and the ending's going on, just playing like music or... Okay, spoilers. I'm just going to say it, because I can't not say it without saying the ending. So if you guys haven't beat Heavenly Sword yet, stop listening for like 20 seconds. But okay. What's her face? Yeah. Noriko dies, and of course Kai looks at her as like the big sister, adopted big sister kind of thing, and she's all like sad, and she's with the father there, and you know, saying all these good things, and you know, they're showing the body and all sad music and all this stuff, and yeah, it was emotional for a second. I got the whole misty eye thing going, and my girlfriend is like, she's like, you okay? Like, cause I guess I didn't say anything for a bit, and I was just kind of like, I was like, no, I just beat the game. Just let me take this in for a second. Okay. But yeah, I just remember that, actually.
That's hilarious. Good.
And I'm going to segue into a Heavenly Sword story now that I wasn't originally going to say. And this isn't a story about me. This is a story about Crystal. And a story about the reason I love her so much. She loves Heavenly Sword. All right, she loves Noriko. She's going to cosplay Noriko as for Anime Weekend Atlanta this year.
Oh, really?
And yeah, she is. Because
Lisa
she's
was thinking about doing the other chick.
Kai?
Yeah.
No kidding. Yeah. That would be hilarious, because she's doing the whole get-up, man. She's going to, you know, she's actually got pretty much most of the outfit done, and she's got to work on the hair and the belt and the sword now. But
I was going to be Nariko, but if she wants to do it, that's fine.
That's a little uncomfortable.
Oh, man, that's a mental picture I'm never going to be able to erase from my mind.
But she's been playing Heavenly Sword, and you know, she she got to the snake chick. I can't remember her name. Mm-hmm. And she got frustrated with her because she's not really that good at the QuickTime events yet. So she doesn't get those right away at this point. And she's getting better at them now because she's been playing Heavenly Sword. But, you know, she got past that part. And she finally got to Kai, and, you know, there's that entire chapter where you pretty much do nothing but play Kai. And so she's firing the arrows, and then she realizes that she can catch the arrow and fire. And she's like, oh, that's really cool. Mm-hmm. And then she sees a barrel. And she controls the arrow into the barrel, and it explodes. All of a sudden, she flips out, and she gets so excited. She goes, oh my god, this is the best game ever! And just because
there's exploding barrels!
Exactly. I'm blowing shit up! I mean, it was hilarious. I was like, Crystal, I love you so much. But, yeah, that was just entertaining to me. And this was, this is only a few weeks ago. This is around the time that I was recording with Glenn and Jared and Mark on the PlayStation Nation podcast. And, you know, I'm sitting there. She's playing it with the sound turned all the way down, and I'm, like, listening to them and watching her at the same time, and I'm, like, she's, like, bouncing up and down, getting all excited because she's blowing shit up, trying to stay quiet, and it was fun. It was funny.
That's awesome.
Good stuff.
Mm-hmm. I just have two more. Like, I think my best memories come from, like, consoles. This actually goes back to a console that I bought, as well as probably the last time I can remember me and a lot of my friends getting together to play games. And that still happens these days, but now I kind of have, like, my gamer friends that are, like, always playing video games, kind of, like, follow the industry. Then there's, like, of course, my other friends who aren't that big into it, so they're not, like, always down for the let's play whatever game. They'll, of course, play Rock Band and Guitar Hero, but not, like, I'll be like, hey, I want to show you this, you know, Lost Odyssey, or Devil May Cry. Let's be kind of like, meh, no big deal. But September 9th, 1999.
Wow, you know,
y'all know what
date
that is.
Well, that's 9999, yeah.
Oh, right.
Yeah, so, of course, that's the day the Dreamcast was released. Mm-hmm. And me and my buddy, he worked for Blockbuster. So I didn't have the money at the time to buy a Dreamcast day one, neither did he. But he, of course, working at Blockbuster, decided to just take one, rent one for whatever, because he works there and he can't. So he got one a couple days before it was released, and I think he got Sonic with it, so we're playing Sonic the first couple days. And then I was supposed to go to class, I guess, you know, college, and I was like, screw this, we're getting up early, we're going to go to EB. And I originally went to buy Final Fantasy VIII, because it was also the same day Final Fantasy VIII came out. So I went to EB, and of course people are there to get their Dreamcast and stuff, and I'm sitting there in line, like, I'm just going to pick up Final Fantasy. But I get to the desk, and like, or the, you know, the counter, and I go, I change from Final Fantasy to, can I have Soul Calibur? And I'm like, I'm buying a game I don't even have a console for. I, you know, it's my hard-earned money, I'm going to buy something I'm going to play for a couple days and that's it, but whatever. So, didn't buy Final Fantasy, bought Soul Calibur, went back to his place and played Soul Calibur basically all day long. Mm-hmm. Went to Blockbuster, took out some other couple games. Then I went to a friend of mine's that night, because we had nothing to do, and you know, a bunch of people came over, and it was the whole, like, oh my god, you guys got a Dreamcast? Like, we're coming over, do you have that Soul Calibur game? And, like, tons of people. There's probably about, I'm guessing about 20 people in this guy's basement, just playing Soul Calibur and Ready to Rumble and all those games. And that was, like, that was the last time I
enjoyed. Oh my god.
Just having, awesome. Like, everybody in there just playing whatever, and just enjoy, like, oh my god, it's, like, awesome. Like, a lot of my friends still think, like, Force Gaming's got this far and looks great, but, you know, they kind of, like, lost touch with it or whatever, so now it's just, like, you know, the core 10 or so of us that actually still like the game, but still, those days of getting everyone together in one room to play on a single console is kind of few and far between, so.
Definitely.
It was touching.
That's a cool story.
Yeah.
It is.
And then, yeah, and then I ended up buying a Dreamcast, I think, about a month and a half later or something.
Oh, really?
Like that.
Yeah, I had saved up for a couple of months prior. I was there launch day. I was there before the store opened. I was ready. I'm like, bring it on. Yeah. Give me my Sonic.
I can't save money worth crap then. I could barely do it now. And my last story is my whole thing is I've never owned a console on day one until the 360. That was the first console I bought day one.
Oh, really?
And I was so excited because that was just a couple of years ago, and I felt like a kid again because I pre-ordered it really early just because I went to EB and I knew, like, I worked there, so I knew the guys working there. Like, oh, you can pre-order your 360 now. I'm like, well, it's kind of early, don't you think? I mean, it's like May and it's not coming out till November, like, yeah, well, you know, whatever, you only have to put down $5. I'm like, fine, whatever, I'll put down $5. So I put down the $5. And then, of course, it's getting close to the release date, and everyone's like, oh, there are going to be shortages, not everyone's going to get one, and whatnot. And this kind of ties two stories into one. This is funny, too. Because, so basically, I'm like, crap, well, I hope I get one. So I called up, sorry, I'm getting ahead of myself here. It's getting close to the day it comes out, and I haven't got a phone call or anything. And then I'm talking to my friend. He's like, oh, so did you get your phone call from EB? I'm like, what do you mean? This is probably a week before it came out. And I'm like, well, what do you mean? He's like, well, they're calling people who have it pre-ordered, and what they're doing is they're setting up like appointments before they open. Like, you have a 15-minute window to go in there, pick up your system and any kind of accessories or games. That way, so they don't kind of avoid lineups, and they're just kind of, you know, whatever. And I'm like, no, I haven't got a phone call yet. And I'm like, oh, crap. They're like, well, that probably means you didn't get one, because our friend Dan, he's like, he pre-ordered one too the same day I did, but later on in the day. And he's like, he didn't get one either. And he ended up calling EB. And this is what's funny, is he's talking to him, and is my old boss. And he's like, oh, sorry, man. Yeah, we don't have enough to cover you. He's like, we're only getting in 26. And then he's like, oh, okay. Well, if you don't mind me asking, what number was I? He's like, oh, I'll check. He's like, oh, dude, you're not gonna believe this. Like, well, he's like, you're 27. And he's like, what the fuck? He ended up getting one because somebody, a couple people did cancel.
Yeah.
But anyway, so. The night I had booked off the day the 360 came out, and the day after, because I was like so excited, because I ended up calling them. They're like, oh yeah, we tried calling you, because I recently moved out and my parents moved away to this other far town, so they called my parents' place, I guess, by accident. My parents never told me. I've talked to them like every day, whatever. They're like, oh yeah, by the way, when I mentioned them, like, oh, by the way, yeah, they did call and ask. I'm like, oh, thanks a lot. Yeah, me like freaking out. So my appointment was for like 9:40, like right before it opens. So I get my roommate, we drive over the Tuesday really early, because I thought maybe there would be kind of a lineup. We get there like 8, a little bit early, and then I see my other two buddies picking theirs up, and I walk in. I'm just standing there, and they have the doors closed, and then my old boss sees me, like, opens the door, he's like, hey, you're not supposed to be here till like 9:40. I'm like, I know, can I please get it now? I'm like, you know, 27 years old, I'm like, or 26 years old. Come on, can I get it now? He's like, fine, come on in here. And I'm all excited and stuff, and I got everything. Then the worst part, again, of course, me waiting in consoles, is my friend didn't want to come in there because he called in sick from work, and he was afraid he'd see people he knew there, even though he worked in Mississauga. And this is like, you guys have no idea what I'm talking about. Anyway, they're towns apart. So he's like, I'm going to go home and get changed, shit like that, so you'll probably be a bit, so I'm going to go get changed. So he drives home, and I'm like sitting there with my system and this bag, and people are coming up to me like, is that an Xbox 360? I'm like, hurry up and get here, Steve. I don't want to be jumped from my system. Like, and he eventually showed up like probably like 45 minutes later.
Jeez.
Yeah, but it was awesome. I love that.
There are only two systems that I bought on launch day.
Mm-hmm.
The first one was the PSP.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I was at Walmart at midnight, even though I had work the next day.
I remember that day, man.
I know. I had work the next day. I was at Walmart at midnight. I actually showed up at like 10:30 just in case there was a line. And I was first in line, and there were probably, like, by the time midnight rolled around, there were probably like 10, 15 more people behind me. So I picked up the PSP, and I picked up 5 games for it. And then I got home, and I unpacked it all and took pictures of it and posted it on Pocket Otaku so everyone could see it.
Rub it in our goddamn faces.
That's right. And then the other one was the Wii. I waited in line for a Wii at Toys R Us. And,
oh, you did the whole waiting in line thing, huh?
Yeah, I usually, and I normally wouldn't, but it was like, I don't know what happened. I got sucked up by the hype machine, and, you know, we were just driving past, but just, you know, just to see, and I was like, I wonder what the line looks like at
Toys R Us
for the Wii Midnight release, and there were probably, like, 40 people in line, and I'm with Crystal, and she's like, well, do you want to wait? And I'm like, really? Yeah, and you know it's November. It's like it's kind of, it's not freezing out, but it was chilly. Mm-hmm. And she goes, "Well, I tell you what, I'll wait here. You go home and get some chairs and stuff and blankets, and then come back." And I'm like, "Seriously?" She said, "Yeah." So she waited in line. I went back to the house. I picked up my PSP, I picked up my DS, I picked up blankets, and I picked up, you know, a couple chairs, brought them back, and we sat in line for like 8 hours, and got my Wii, and went home. And Jason and Lisa showed up, too.
Almost the same exact story. Yeah, we drove by. Alex, a mutual friend of Chris and I, gave me a call and said, you know, dude, there's still, you know, still room in here. And I'm like, all right, we're up in that area anyway. We'll stop by and we'll take a look. And they were just starting to fill up at the very end. So we made the call to, you know, just sit it out for another hour or two. And we weren't planning on it by any means. So got a Wii that night. Yeah.
Good stuff. Because we're talking about waiting in lines, did I tell my Halo 3 story on here before?
I'm not sure.
I can't remember. So that was pretty funny. Because that was the same kind of thing. Like, I had it pre-ordered, and me and my roommate went to the gym. We're walking back, and it was like, I don't know, probably about maybe 10:30. We're walking back, and I'm like, oh, there's not too many people waiting in line. I'm like, you know what? Fuck it. You want to just wait in line? He's like, for real? I'm like, yeah, why not? He's like, all right, well, let's go drop off our shit. So we went to our place, dropped it off, our bags. Walked back up, line's a little bit busier now. But before we get there, there's a Future Shop, which is pretty much like a Best Buy, just up the street. And they had a thing going on, too, so it was kind of like a line up there. But they also had a radio station there that you got, like, free T-shirts. The T-shirts said Pwned on them. So my roommate got one. He just like, what the hell is Pwned? I'm like, it's just... It's geek term. It's like if you played a game online, where it's just like it's like owned, but like a typo. I try to explain it to him. He's like, "Oh, okay." So he held onto the shirt. So I'm like making him wait in line. So I'm like, we're sitting there waiting in the Halo 3 line, and we're waiting for EB to open at 12 o'clock. And yet, the place I usually shop at down below was selling the game early because they always break street date. And the only reason I didn't get the game there is because I didn't think they were getting the legendary editions ones, because for some reason they told me they weren't weeks before. Which right now, like last week, I could have probably easily got. Which, by the way, they're selling it for $59.99 at the EB by my house, the Legendary Edition Halo 3. So you can now
Seriously?
Get the Legendary Edition Halo 3 at the EB by my house for the same price as the regular edition of Halo.
Wow.
Yeah, but anyway. So we're standing in line, you know, it was kind of like surreal to me. There's people on their like laptops, they're all looking at like stuff like online YouTube and stuff like that, and everyone's just kind of there to get Halo, and people are going in and out of this other place, Gamerama down below, with their game early, and we're all booing them. We're like, boo, just because we're jealous, because they're, you know, going, picking it up. We're waiting. So then the news shows up, you know, a local news station. So they're going up and down the line, interviewing people. I'm like, oh, fuck, please don't pick me out. I don't want to be. And my roommate's a bit of a dick. He's like, yo, you don't want to be on camera? I'm like, nah. And he's like, that's cool. That's understandable. Like, I mean, you're tired and stuff. And, oh, hey, guy, this guy wants to say, he's like, hey, camera. I find anyone want to say some things. I'm like, you're a fucking asshole. Like, I'm like, you're such a dick. And, like, everyone around is like, looking at that point. I'm like, so what I do is they walk over. All I simply do is I pushed him in front, and I just walked away. I like walk down like these little stairs, and they're like, they start asking him questions. He's like, the look at his face, like, oh, like deer in headlights. He's like, oh my God. He's like, so what are you guys here for? He's like, oh, you know, it's, and he's not huge in the game. Like, he plays games every once in a while, but like, he has a 360 and stuff, but he isn't really that as much into it as he used to be. So he's like, oh, you know, we're waiting for Halo 3. It's like, you know, it's the best one. It's like, you know, like better graphics, all this stuff. And he's like, oh, so I see you got a t-shirt there. What's your t-shirt? He's like, oh, it's a Halo shirt. He turns it around. I'm like, oh my God, dude. It's just so funny because all these like other nerds in line are like making fun of, like, kind of like, you know, like, this guy doesn't know what he's talking about. He's like, yeah, you know, it's Pwned. Like, what does Pwned mean? He's like, oh, you know, it's a term in Halo or something like this. I'm like, oh, dude, you're making such an ass of yourself. This is hilarious. Oh man! And then they're like just asking questions. He's like, and then eventually pass out to the guys behind. He's like, these guys are pretty hyped up for it too. So then like, I kept saying, I'm like, dude, we so gotta watch the news. He's like, you're such a dick. I'm like, I'm a dick. You're the one who fucking tried to get them over there and interview me. And I never ended up watching that edition of the news. But oh man, I was dying of laughter. I'm like, he's just watching him like basically die in front of like, you know, all of like Canada's broadcaster of Canada. So it was just so funny.
Nice.
Oh man. Good times.
Mm-hmm. I have one left.
Go for it.
It's really short. Back in the NES days, I think I was probably like 10. There was a game that came out that you know, they don't like to talk about it anymore. Called Mike Tyson's Punch Out.
Yeah.
And I really, really wanted this game. really wanted it. And I told my mom that I really, really wanted it. And she's like, no, you're not getting it. You know? I was like, alright, fine. Why Mike Tyson punch out? So I came home from school one day, and I walk into my room, and laying on my bed is a brand new copy of Mike Tyson's Punch Out.
Whoa.
I about that flipped out. I was like, oh my god, I got Mike Tyson's Punch Out. I put it in right away, and I started playing it, and I was, you know, beating the hell out of Glass Joe. I'm like, yeah, take that! And, you know, I had so much fun with that game. I played that game so much that I actually still have the code to get straight to Mike Tyson memorized.
Oh, really?
Yes.
That game still holds up, too, surprisingly.
It was 007-373-5963. That would bring you straight to Mike Tyson.
The Mortal Kombat blood code. ABACABB.
Oh, that's right.
Genesis, yeah. Embedded in my brain for life.
The Akari Warriors continue code.
Sorry?
The Akari Warriors continue code. ABBA. That was it.
That's right, yeah. Man. You know what I realized after, like, reminiscing about all these things? Is, honestly, we can probably go on forever, because just that story there reminded me of another story, which probably remind Jason of another story, Wow.
Yeah, we need to cut it short.
Yeah. Because, yeah.
All right.
Reminiscing is over.
Memories.
Hopefully it's just as fun to listen to it as it is to take part in the conversation.
Unfortunately, I'm not thinking it is.
No. Same here. I think it's one of those conversations where if you're part of, it's awesome. You can probably, you know, you go to the bar and your friends, or you can do it like for hours. But for people listening, it's kind of like
you should have a disclaimer that you need a beer or two before listening.
Exactly.
Be drunk before listening.
I kind of wish you had more stories about like specific games, like specific moments inside of a game. That'd be cool too.
Or listen to it exactly 1 month from today. They might enjoy it.
All right, we're gonna move on.
Yeah, let's get to these new releases and emails and get going.
Do it.
All right, so next week for the Wii, MX versus ATV Untamed. I'm sure everyone.
Oh, wait. That came out like last month on the other systems, right?
Yeah, it came out last month on everything else.
Okay. I've been waiting, you know.
I know. Sure, everybody's been anticipating the Wii release. And apparently Dragon Quest Swords is coming out next week.
About time.
Are you guys, do you guys have any interest in this anymore at all?
Too little, too late.
Yep.
Yeah, I kind of agree. And there was, I think it was BSV that was talking about it on GLF.
Yep.
And he was saying that in Japan it's a plug-and-play game where you plug it directly into the TV.
Oh, really?
Really?
Or something like that? Yeah, I don't know. I haven't seen anything about that.
I have a
version
of that, but...
yeah. So I'm very turned off by this game now. But anyway, I guess we'll find out next week how it all turns out. For the DS, FIFA Street 3, Apollo Justice Ace Attorney.
That's what's going to be good.
Is it?
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's the third one in the Ace Attorney, I guess, trilogy now, I guess. There's been three, right?
Yeah, I think so. 360, FIFA Street 3, Dynasty Warriors 6, and The Club.
The Club. Did anyone download that demo? It's been on there for a while. I haven't played it yet, though.
I have not. No interest.
It's made by the guys who did Project Gotham.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's a third-person shooter.
Gotcha. PS3 is the same as 360. FIFA Street 3, Dynasty Warriors 6, and The Club. And PSP has Need for Speed Pro Street.
No games to pick up next week for me.
No games to pick up next week.
Same here. Yeah, wow.
I will eventually... I will eventually have Dynasty Warriors 6, but not until it's budget.
Yeah, Crystal is big.
Crystal is huge into the Dynasty Warriors series.
Okay.
Because she's really into the Chinese history and stuff, too. So when she plays the game, it's like she knows all the characters and all kinds of stuff. So, I mean, she starts telling me things about the game, and I'm like, that's great, honey. You know, I don't call her honey because I hate that word, but I'm like, that's great. I love you. And that's it. But,
she's like, and then Lu Bu came and kicked everyone's ass.
That's right.
But, she doesn't really sound like that. I'm sorry.
That's it for new releases. Jason, I know we got an email or two.
We have, email. We're kind of running short on time, so I'm going to kind of trim out. But we got one from Mr. Stuffinator. Hi again, guys. I wanted to write in about the discussion you had on last week's show about RPGs. I myself could never get into them because I never liked the slow-paced combat or turn-based attacks. I was talking to Jared last night at the VG Evo chat box about Final Fantasy Crisis Core and how it played. Knowing that the last Final Fantasy game changes its combat to more action-oriented than previous versions. I asked Jared if there would be a demo coming out for the PSP game, and he said something to the effect of Square doesn't do demos because they know that, you know, anything they put out, the fan base will eat it up. Which I totally understand, but for a guy like me who has little to no interest in games like this, wouldn't buy this game without knowing if I would like the combat and pace. Mm-hmm. So my question / point is, should developers be putting demos out of these games, since many of them have changed the formula of some of these RPGs to try and get players like myself hooked? The way to span their market, so to speak. Anyway, thanks for an awesome show, and keep up the great work, but lay off the wacky juice. You guys had way too much fun last week.
Yeah. I think I need to get it back on it for next week. I just have no energy today.
That's okay. I'm pretty wiped. I'm sick.
Yeah, I've been sick.
You guys have excuses. I don't.
This has been the sick show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, I think that it depends on the game. Mm-hmm. Square, you know, like Jared made the point, Square doesn't really need to put demos out because, you know, people. Well, first of all, people
do,
will see Final Fantasy VII and eat it up.
Yeah.
So, but on the other hand, it's like a game like Uncharted. I wasn't even excited about that game until I played the demo.
Me too.
And then there's games like Conan, which probably shouldn't have ever had a demo. They probably would have sold more without it.
Yeah. That's the thing. It's like, no, sorry, go ahead, finish.
No, I was done. That was my point.
Okay. I was going to say this. There's kind of like there's three scenarios with demos. There is the good game with the good demo. There's the shit game. No, sorry, four scenarios. The shit game with a good demo. The shit game with a shit demo. And the good game with a shit demo. You guys get all those? Sure. Basically,
okay. Yeah.
It depends on the game. Like, look at what a demo did for Dead Rising on 360. That made it sell. I mean, they came out with the demo. Everyone loved it and bought the game. Good game, good demo. Then you have Turok, which the demo was utter shit. Terrible demo. Everyone agreed. Terrible demo. Just assume crappy game. Didn't buy it. Any review read, like, well, it doesn't really seem like it's that bad. And a friend of mine who's actually reviewing the game for a newspaper, on a local newspaper, he hated the demo but is liking the game. So in that kind of case, the demo could hurt the game, right? What was I going to say? Well, I was going to say that, like, another two examples you could do is, like, great demo, great game, like BioShock. And then, think of it anyway. Yeah, it all depends. Like, it's, you know, it depends on the game and whatnot. But in terms of Square, like, they do put out demos. They just don't do it in a way you can get it for free. Like, they had a demo for Final Fantasy XII. They had a demo for... Which, that's one of the ones I think hurt the game, because people seem to love or hate the new battle system. And Final Fantasy XII, I believe, is the worst-selling Final Fantasy game since 7. Is that right?
I don't know. 9.
I think 9 is, and I think 12's next.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not too sure, but I think that's why. I think if they didn't release the demo, it would have sold a hell of a lot more. But in that case, I think they should.
I said I remember that now. I got that demo. I don't remember why I got it.
It came with Dragon Quest VIII.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah. They did it like Konami does. Because Konami, yeah.
Like Zone of the Elders they had.
Yeah, well, Zone of Enders they dropped in, like, Metal Gear Solid 2.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah.
And, but, like,
that's the only reason why I bought the game.
To answer Stoff's question, I think in relation to Final Fantasy, that it is good. I think, like, they should do something like that when they're changing up the gameplay that much. Where mm-hmm. I think that's a good idea to show people what you're going to get. But then again, it's like a double-edged sword. Look, on the other side is, well, if people don't like what they change, they're not going to buy the product.
Yeah.
And for someone like him, like, if you don't know how a game plays, of course, you'd want to play a demo. Or if you think that you didn't like RPGs back in the day because it's too slow, turn-based, whatnot, but you're hearing that they're sped up now, you really have no way of knowing unless you rent a game or flat out go out and buy it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think demos are overall good. I think they should
do it. Yeah, I think so too. I think we should see them more. But yeah, you made a good point. You know, anything with Final Fantasy VII attached to it really doesn't need
No.
You know, any kind of pipe or anything. You know, it supported by itself. But something like this kind of game, because the combat is so different, you know, it's kind of reminiscent of like Parasite Eve, that kind of like RPG. So it's different than any other Final Fantasy that I've played. I suppose it's closest to 12, if anything, you know. And Stoff, if you played that, you know, then yeah, if you'd like that, then you'll probably like Crisis Core 2.
You could probably get Final Fantasy 12 pretty cheap now. It wouldn't be a bad idea to just go out and grab it and see if you like it if you haven't played it already.
I lucked out. I got it for like $18, I think, used. And that was the collector's edition. So, yeah, check your GameStops and EBs.
Definitely give it a rent, for sure. Crisis Core, is a role-playing game, or I still don't really know what type of game that is.
It is. It's an RPG, as far as I know.
It is an RPG? Okay.
Yeah, so. More action-oriented. Yeah, it reminds me an awful lot of Parasite Eve.
Okay.
I've actually been trying to distance myself from any information, because I just want to go out and buy the game and just jump in it and not know anything about it. So,
yeah. Comes out the same week I leave for Punta Cana, so that's awesome. Okay. Pick it up on the Tuesday and not open until it's light over there. Mm-hmm. Excited.
Cool. What else we got, Jason?
We have voicemails.
We do?
We have a voicemail?
Yes. I'm so
Wait,
proud
we have
of
a voicemail list. Line?
Yes, we do have a voicemail line.
Wow, how about that?
Isn't that something?
Yeah.
I want to play this voicemail. One of that we got. This is from Ricky Duty.
We should have known that.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Ricky. Staying high and keep up the good work with your show. And I'll see you.
Okay, bye.
All right,
that was
it. Works.
Wow.
Thank you.
Well, we know it works.
That's right. We know it works.
And enthralling. All right. Okay, on to the next one. I'm not sure about this one. I don't know. Who sent this?
Hey, Jason. This is Jason. I'm calling you from the future to let you know, do not buy that eBay auction.
Okay.
It is haunted. And it will ruin your life.
Okay.
Okay, bye.
Bye, me.
That's
great. That's all that we got.
Wow, that was gay. Okay. Sorry.
Wow, we've sunk to a new level.
Jason,
we're sending ourselves voicemails. Come on, people.
That's fine.
So anyway.
Anyway.
Well, that's all we got, I think, right?
Wait, how can they contact us, Chris? If they wanted to send us a voicemail.
Actually, we need to go over the question of the week for next week.
That we do. And by we mean you.
You.
Yes. Well, this is an easy one. All PSN right. or Xbox Live? Which do you prefer and why?
Can I answer now?
And if you haven't if you haven't had experience in one but the other,
just tell us what you like.
Exactly.
Yep. What you don't like. Let's have a rap session.
Exactly.
Hammer time.
Before we wrap up, I do want to say that we did get another recording from Nabo.
Yes.
About his angry German mother story.
Which I'm dying to hear, by the way.
Yeah, yeah. The problem is that the quality of the file that he sent us wasn't the greatest, and there's some background noise.
A lot
so
of static.
Rather than try and play it live on the show, we're going to tack it on to the end. So right after you guys hear us wrap up, I'm going to have the Nabo's recording of the angry German mother story, and you get to laugh at that in all of its glory. So thank you, Nabo, for sending that in. That was great.
Yeah, absolutely.
But you can contact us in several different ways now. Answer the question of the week. You can send us an email at email@interactivedistractions.com. You can also contact us on the VG Evo forums. And actually, Jeff and I are usually in the chat box, too, during the day.
Yeah, I'm pretty much in there all day long.
Yeah. And as you heard, we now have a voicemail line. And the number for that is 818-528-GAME. Again, the number is 818-528-4263. You can also leave us a message on Skype, and the username is Interactive Distractions. One word.
One word.
One word.
All lowercase.
Yep. Not that I think it matters.
I don't think so either.
Well, that's all we got. Aww. Guys, you got anything else?
I am tired. No.
I do, actually. I have a correction to make. I made an incorrect sort of statement last week about my Devil May Cry Collector's Edition. Apparently, they are supposed to, at least the ones that were at GameStop, were supposed to come with actual physical art books. And I made a stop to my local GameStop, and I'm like, where the hell did you get that? And he's like, what, this art book? You just got a pre-order. I'm like, well, I didn't get one of those. So the kind gentleman took one out and handed it to me, so now I have an official physical art book, and I'm much happier.
Are you ever going to look at it?
I did, actually, a few times.
Are you ever going to look at it again?
It's an awesome cover, yeah. It's sitting with my...
The cover probably looks awesome.
When I show it off. It's a nice little keepsake, because it's hardbound. It's pretty looking.
Also, Jason did not get a golden ticket.
Yeah, no,
he found that out shortly after the show, that the quote-unquote golden ticket was actually a handwritten signature in silver Sharpie ink. And I don't think, Jeff, you didn't get it either, right?
No.
Gosh, I really wish I would have bought the special edition so I could have had a chance at that. No, I'm not. Anyway, well, we thank you guys for joining us, and I hope you enjoyed the show. I hope you're still around listening. We'll be back next week, hopefully with more energy and not as sick. So, again, thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week.
Bye, guys.
Take it easy.
Hey guys, do you honestly want to know about the death of my beloved Black Box of Doom? Fine, you can find out anyway. It was a Thursday, I think, and the times have changed. We're brewing in the Nabo household. Past weeks of stress from cooking and cleaning day after day, dishes by hand for a month straight, I was fucking pissed. Something happened and I pretty much just went upstairs to my room to play on the PC or something. My little brother had a shit all over the room. As I yelled at him from an earlier argument, I walk in and see this? Oh hell no. His clothes were kicked to his bed. An Xbox, not 360, was gently caressed into the hallway. He comes up an hour or so later and sees it sitting in the hallway. No idea how it got there or anything. Yells at the top of his lungs, Jeff! Why did you throw my Xbox? And that's when the ground started shaking, the walls closed in, nothing was going to stop the onslaught of the angry German mother! She asked, with fire shooting out of her nostrils. Did you throw that? I replied honestly, trying to get some points for telling the truth. Yes. Without a second hesitation, she reaches in, rips the cord from the back of my beloved Black Box, and hurls it into the hallway. I stare, shocked, my jaw about to fall off my face. She leaves. I stand up to see the damage. It's just sitting there. The shine is gone. It's dead. My purchase is now in question. Does it work? I get it set up later that night. Try a variety of video cords to see if it's the wires in the cord, no luck. I smash a trash can, kick a hole in my closet door by throwing my shoe at it. I had my tantrum by responding to my mom. Thanks for throwing away my $600. I call on the next day to Sony, tell them the video doesn't work. They send me a box, I send mine back, and I receive a large TV-sized box. You know, CRT. I open it up and see a PS3 sitting on its base, with the foam holder nowhere near protecting it. I pray to God that it worked. I turned it on, but that was about it. Wi-Fi was fucked up, video didn't work. So I called them again, tell them to use the right size box, and they send it back out. A month goes by since the death of my Black Box of Doom. I finally get my second one back. It is the proper size, everything is fine. I gotta plug back in the power cord, but then I see the problem. The damn power supply wasn't snapped in properly, and if I push in the power cord, the panel on the PS3 gets pushed in. call Sony again and tell them that the Wi-Fi is still not working. They fixed that because of their fucked up media server connection settings and the damn NAT issue. They tell me it'll be fine. Well, that's the tragic tale of my PS3. It was a tragic death, a sad day. But keep in mind, the angry German mother is real, on the loose, and could strike at any moment.